about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Why does Kevin always sit at the bus stop but never gets on a bus?
Please don't bring that up. Don't bring anything he does up.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Thanks for seeing me. I'm here because I'm thinking of doing some comedy.
Oh, right, like a comedy movie?
No, on stage. Stand-up comedy, live comedy of some kind.
Wow.
I'm a funny guy, aren't I? I'm funny, right?
Yeah.
Is this your idea of getting jiggy with it?
And now.
Why not, Bean? This is America!
This is America! Yeah.
Our feature presentation.
I miss Toto.
I do too, but Dave told us yesterday that they think he's coming back to America maybe this week, maybe as early as tomorrow.
Yeah. It sounds like we're unsure. It's because we're unsure.
Well, he's the international man of mystery. You can never be sure about him. You can never completely know what's going on with him. So hopefully we'll catch up with him next week. Hey, nice job, Kevin. Way to go.
Yeah.
Way to go what?
Jinxed
way to go.
It.
Way to jinx the team.
Oh, you're so funny. You've been waiting to say this
talking about
whole time.
How you would sweep it. I don't know why anyone would say something like that out loud. You're just begging them to lose.
You know it's bad luck.
Nobody Jeez. Would say that, really.
Somebody did. I heard it. I heard yesterday. I heard somebody say it. Hey, don't be blue, you guys. Temporary setback, right?
Yeah, it's the biggest case of sports blue balls ever.
Yes, of course it is. 45 years, right. Yeah. I 1,000% get how disappointed people are because they wanted to see it in person. They wanted to see it at home. They wanted to see it in their city. I totally get that. But this is like, hey, I bought a new car and it's getting here, but it's going to be 2 days late. I mean, that's all it is. It's a first world problem to have to be sad about missing it by a couple of days, right?
Sure. Of course.
Let's not lose our heads, people. Come on.
When Bean is the voice of reason, that scares me.
I know, it is trouble. But was it still fun last night, or was it just nerve-wracking?
No, it was fun until they scored, and then when we scored right away again, we're talking about the hockey game last night, the Kings. And then when we scored again, it was fun, but then when they scored again, we were like, oh, no. But that wasn't – none of that was until the third period. So
right.
The whole game was basically just tense.
Yeah.
And everybody wondering where the cup was and when it was going to come out. And then,
They did uncrate it. They uncrated it at the beginning. At the beginning of the third period, they uncrated it. Yep, they sure did. But
bastards.
They packed it back up and they'll put it on a
plane. They jinxed it. Why did they have to uncrate it?
And look, if this makes you feel any better, and I know you know this, Kevin, but it's only ever happened one time before that a team has come back. And it was in 1942. So this Kings team is not... It's never going to happen to this Kings team.
Easy.
They're just too good.
Easy.
No, I'm just saying.
It most likely won't.
It won't happen, and you know it.
How dare you.
Let's talk about a winner for a second here. I know you love stories like this.
How dare you.
Let's turn our attention away from Kevin's LA Kings and talk about a winner. This is Sho Yano is his name. He is 21 years old. And he's one of these people you talk about who ruins the curve for the rest of us. He has just been awarded his medical doctorate by the University of Chicago.
What is he, three?
He's 21.
Oh.
He's 21 years old. He started reading at age 2, writing at age 3, composing music at age 5, graduating this week from the Pritzker School of Medicine, where he also received a PhD in molecular genetics and cell biology.
Oh, God.
He began college at age 9, earned his undergraduate degree from Loyola at 12, summa cum laude. He he's got a sister, by the way, which is crazy. His sister is also a prodigy. She received a bachelor's degree in biology from Roosevelt University in 2010. She's 15. She's now at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore pursuing a second bachelor's degree in violin performance.
Imagine being the third dumb kid in that family. Your brother who's 10 has a doctorate. You go, what? What am I supposed to do?
The University of Chicago Admissions Committee spokesperson Joel Schwab said, I remember interviewing him, this nice, polite 11-year-old boy dressed in a little suit. He was never going to be among typical 11-year-olds where his mother would drive him to Little League. He was always going to be a doctor.
Right.
He also is always asked if he regrets that they put him on this fast track, saying that it would take away his ability to have a normal childhood.
And here's what he says. I never understood that. Why would being allowed to challenge yourself be considered more damaging than being totally bored?
So yeah, apparently he was never going to be a normal kid no matter what.
Yeah.
All right, so the kid's way more advanced than us, but he's never going to get laid without paying. So we got
know.
That going
he's
for
a,
us.
He's a 21-year-old doctor. He might
so
get
what?
Laid. Really?
You get the idea that a guy like that who's really that much smarter than all of us would have social problems.
He's got no game.
Yeah, no game.
Because he has spent too much time studying and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
What is he going to talk to the girl about? Or it's not a movie. It's not a concert.
It's either he has no game or he's just a dick.
That's true, too.
In one of those two.
Yeah, so you're probably right.
We can take some solace in that. Yeah, sure, he's 10 times smarter than all of us.
And I hope he cures cancer. But
me too. But he's not going to get laid.
Yeah.
So
yeah. All right. That's a good way to bring down his phenomenal accomplishments.
Well, that's what we do. You know.
That's a way to throw poop on him. Nice.
It's really our only ability. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
No, your worst nightmare.
Jake Johnson will be on the program today.
He's so great.
Is on The New Girl, and also
Nick on The New Girl, right?
Yep, and a new movie called Safety Not Guaranteed.
So good.
We have Dr. Drew on the program today. We have Kathy Griffin in studio.
So funny.
Very excited about that. She's always funny. We have Colin Hanks from New York.
Now, is he going to be happy or sad?
Sad and had.
Both, I guess.
What do you mean happy or sad?
Well, he obviously wanted the Kings to win, but he was really sad he couldn't be there.
Right. Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. But he can't be at game five either.
Right.
He still has time.
He's
got to figure out a way to work that out, by the way.
I took his phone number when he was here, and I was texting him last night. I don't think he has. I don't think he's worked out a way. I think he's on his way back, and there's nothing he can do about it.
So sad.
Kat Deely on the program today.
Oh, I love her so much.
So You Think You Can Dance in a new show called The Choice. We have Brad Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Comedian. Funny man, Brad Williams. And we have Michael Fassbender on the program.
Ridiculous. Today.
Sorry, I screwed up his name, women. Prometheus is the name of that.
We know who he is.
I know you
Yes,
do.
You
can
do.
Say his name however you want.
That's coming
we
up
know who he is.
In about a half hour here on the World Famous K-Rock. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat.
Hi, Ralph Garman.
Hey!
You see a lot of things early. Have you seen
I
this
do.
Prometheus?
I do all things early.
All?
All things. Yes.
Okay.
I was saying you see a lot of things early, movies and stuff. I was wondering if you've seen this Prometheus yet.
No, I'm dying to, though. I think there's a screening coming up this week I'm going to grab. You know, here's the thing. I don't go see the movies that I review when I talk about movies.
Right.
No, I understand.
But sometimes if I'm really aching to see something, I can finagle a deal where I'll go to one of those screenings or something. You know?
But this comes out tomorrow, I think.
Oh, is it tomorrow?
It doesn't?
I believe so, yeah.
Oh, well, I missed the boat on this one.
Yeah. You'll have to go with the common.
That's okay. I'll hit it this weekend. I mean, I'm a huge Aliens fan, and Ridley Scott back on board, and this is the prequel, and we get to see the space jockey and all that stuff. Very exciting.
Looks amazing. I'm very excited to welcome Michael Fassbender to the show here in a couple of minutes, too. He's a very talented actor, and as Lisa points out, who has an enormous penis.
Oh, come on. Why does the man... Now he's got to carry that around.
Poor man.
He has to carry that around anyway.
Nothing but hurt him.
He's an actor, and now it's just... That's the thing. Everyone talks about it. Every place he goes, that's what he gets.
God, is it really that big?
Exactly. First, though, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday Kevin and Bean Show.
Well, it just keeps getting better. She just keeps making better and better life decisions. Miley Cyrus is getting married.
All right.
What?
The age of 19.
Yeah, she's due.
All right.
Doesn't want to be an old maid.
She wants to get her first one out of the way before she's 20.
So at 19, she's engaged to Hunger Games star Liam Hemsworth. They've been dating for about 3 years, and they made it official yesterday when they told People magazine. She said, "I'm so happy to be engaged and looking forward to a life of happiness with Liam." Oh, Miley. Oh, Miley, you're adorable. You really are.
I wonder what these statistics are on 19-year-olds who get married and stay married.
Just came out this week, actually. They said marriage failure rate for people who get married under the age of 25 is 60%.
Okay.
Almost 10% more than the national average.
Doesn't it seem like the celebrity factor also makes it worse
Absolutely.
For them?
Absolutely. I think you really have the odds stacked against you when you're a celebrity on top of being 19.
Yeah.
And trouble. Then you got the big teeth.
That's true.
Does that hurt the stats?
I think it does, because if she chips one, the shrapnel could hit him and kill him.
Oh, my God. Is it really that big?
If he's in the vicinity.
But isn't her dad, Billy Ray Cyrus, I think he's from Tennessee or someplace, so he's probably been hounding her since she was 15 to get married. Like, what's wrong with you?
To him.
To him.
He's
from proposing.
Tennessee. Yeah. Usually they just marry their own. Like gerbils. They either eat them or marry them.
don't think so.
I think they do.
I'm pretty sure
it's
not.
Tennessee law. Look it up. Open a blog.
All right, I'll open a blog.
Kevin couldn't. He couldn't say it if it weren't true. All right, Kevin, come on.
If you want to ask about how difficult it is to be married in show business, ask John Travolta, Kelly Preston these days.
Yeah.
New allegations yesterday dropped.
There's more?
Yeah. This is a different one. This isn't a lawsuit. This is just John Travolta's former secretary, Joan Edwards, coming forth and saying, oh yeah, John's gay. I knew it the whole time I was working for him. It never bothered me. Of course he's gay. And then she compounded it by saying, look, he had a six-year-long love affair with his personal pilot back in the 80s, Doug Goderba.
Wow, she's coming up with details.
Yeah. And Doug Goderba has come forward and said, just to confirm the fact, yes, he did work for Travolta during that time period, but wouldn't comment on the relationship. However, one of Doug's ex-boyfriends said, oh, yeah, he was with Travolta. He told me about it when we got together. Apparently, this guy dated Doug after he had been with Travolta, and he said the reason the relationship ended is because Doug couldn't deal with John's weight gain in between movies, his hairy body, and his B.O.
Oh, man.
This is why I could never be gay. It has nothing to do with the sexual aspect of it, or I think it's right or wrong. It's just, dudes are gross.
What information is
I mean, I could be with a guy, but the hair and the BO and just being a guy, I know how just disgusting we are. Women are just softer and cleaner and less hairy.
Just better.
Smell better.
Wouldn't he have put this to rest a long time ago if, as is alleged, he were gay? If he just said, yeah, I'm gay. What of it?
He's all and married and stuff.
Nobody would say anything anymore.
Look, here's the thing. Yeah, today, 2012, could you come out and say, yeah, I'm gay and I'm a movie star?
Right.
Absolutely. 1977, when he was breaking, 1976?
Yeah. But couldn't he say it today?
He couldn't.
And it would still go away?
But how do you lie? How do you build this life of lies that you've created? The talk about your marriage and your kids and deny and deny and deny. How do you make this 40 years worth of lies? And then you come out and say, okay, all right, I'm gay. Then everyone says, well, then you're a liar. You're gay, fine, but you're also a liar because you kept up this facade. You lived this sham of a life and a marriage for 40 years.
And Scientology fixed him.
That's right.
Oh, excellent point, Lisa.
That's right.
You're not really allowed to be gay in Scientology, are you?
I do not believe that is a lifestyle that they condone.
Excellent point. But it is interesting how everybody has a different journey. I mean, look at Queen Latifah. She still won't come out. Everybody still is trying to insist that she come out, and she won't. For instance, she just doesn't want to for whatever reason.
Why does anyone insist anymore, even?
I don't know. And then Jim Parsons, he's outed by the New York Times, as you reported a couple of weeks ago, Ralph. And it's a story for about 15 seconds, and then everybody forgets about it because no one cares.
In this day and age, certainly it's not a big deal anymore. But I feel for Travolta in the sense that when he was coming up in the late 70s and early 80s, you couldn't be a leading man and be gay in Hollywood. Right. You couldn't come forward and say, oh, yes, I'm gay, and then star in Grease. Or any of the other movies that he did, he never would have been able to come out.
But that's what he could say. He could say, in the 70s and 80s, I made a mistake, but I was worried about, and now I'm not.
And then you got a wife
who
has stood by you for the 20 years they've been married or whatever. What are you doing to her publicly, basically, when you say that?
And then people start asking questions about how the kids happened and all that.
I don't know. He's between a rock and a hard place.
If you know what I mean. That's where he likes it.
Allegedly.
That's where he likes to be, is between a rock and a hard place.
Allegedly.
John Mayer's not happy with Taylor Swift. Well, who is?
I am.
Bean.
No one likes her.
I love my T-Swizzle. You know that.
She wrote a song about their short romance called Dear John.
Because he's a dick.
John talked to Rolling Stone about it this week, saying he thought it was a really lousy thing to do. He never got an email or a phone call from her complaining about the relationship or saying she was upset. He said it was caught completely off guard when it came out and said it was cheap songwriting, too, on top of everything else. So he's not happy with Taylor Swift for that behavior. But here's the upside, John. You still effed her. You win.
And moved on, got out of
it. That's right. You effed her and left her.
Yeah.
Come on, John. Not such a bad thing, is it? I wonder when
I wonder when he effed her. She went, oh, my goodness. Oh,
I can't believe
did
this
we just
happening.
Have sex? I can't believe we had sex. Oh, you guys.
I hope so.
He's hit by a safe.
Does that happen for real?
No, not often. That's why. It has to happen. Start happening more.
I would like that.
I want that cartoon. I want cartoon death. I wish her cartoon
cartoon death for her.
I want her to be hit by a safe and then look like an accordion. That's just, she gets all squished up, and then when she walks, she goes...
I like it.
Awesome. By the way, if there's not a band called Cartoon Death, then I don't know this world.
You don't know this world. And tragic news for all of us who are going to fly to Palm Beach, Florida next month to see Nadia Sulman, the Octomom, strip.
What? I thought that was a done deal.
At T's Lounge.
Not that I was going, but...
Yes, you were. Remember, we got those tickets. We had that.
Oh, right,
trip
those
planned.
Tickets.
Yeah. She has canceled her appearance at the strip club. She will not be stripping for the patrons in West Palm Beach, Florida.
You liar!
According to her rep, she has a rep.
She has a rep.
The decision was made after the club bartender was talking to the local news about the story and said it was only a matter of time before she started stripping. She must be a little crazy, because normal people don't have that many children. And apparently Nadia is so upset she canceled her
appearance. She's upset at that?
Yes.
What if she heard normal people who were much more upset at her?
I have no idea. It's tragic. And pet parents.
Yes.
Lisa.
I say yes.
Yeah, you do. Here's your Lord and Savior. This is the guy you want to model your life after. Karl Lagerfeld. Are you familiar with Karl Lagerfeld, the legendary designer?
Yes.
Multi-million dollar designer. Has a clothing line and fragrance lines, and just could not be more successful.
He's a pet parent?
He is a pet parent. He's did an interview with Women's Wear Daily, big fashion magazine. Well, it's a pretty big deal. It's a big fashion magazine. Talking about his 9-month-old kitten, Choupette.
Okay.
Choupette is 9 months old and has two maids.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Two maids.
What?
Choupette, he told the magazine, is like a kept woman. She has a strong personality. I'm sorry, let me do it.
Yeah, please.
As Carl would do. She's like a kept woman. She has a strong personality. She has lunch and dinner with me on the table with her own food. So he puts her up on the table while he's eating, and she's eating there on the table. Okay.
Oh, f*** you.
She sleeps under a pillow, and she even knows how to use an iPad. She has two personal maids, both for night and day. Besides cleaning her litter box, the maids keep her diary.
They write down day by day? Are you kidding?
The cat's diary is already over 600 pages. And Carl says he hopes to turn it into a book someday.
Yeah, we can't wait for that. I hope you publish
slept,
all 1,200.
Stretched. Licked my paw.
Ate.
Slept. Slept.
And then pooped. Repeat.
Pooped. Hey, someone took the poop out of my sandbox. How does that happen? Ate. Slept.
That is going to be a fascinating book.
Hairball. Meowed. Today's celebrity birthday, singer Tom Jones is 72 years old today. He, was, of course, at the Queen's Jubilee. He was performing there for her.
And he's still, how old is he? 72?
72.
He still has an unbelievably strong voice.
It is kind of ridiculous. I saw him in Vegas not too long ago as a goof.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we're in Vegas. Let's go see a real cheesy Vegas-type show. We'll see that Tom Jones. He's one of those hacks from the 60s or whatever. You know, that'll be a laugh. We got there. Blown away by
really?
That guy. Amazing performer and tremendous pipes. Great voice. Liam Neeson. Speaking of pipes, he is 60 years old today. Prince, 54 years old. Gordon Gano of Violent Femmes is 49 years old. Eric Kretz, drummer for Stone Temple Pilots, is 46. Dave Navarro is 45. Bear Grylls, Man vs. Wild fame, is 38 years old. Keyboardist and guitarist Eric Johnson of The Shins
Eric.
36. Bill Hader from Saturday Night Live is 34 years old. Anna Kournikova.
Oh, there we go.
Celebrates her 31st birthday today. And Michael Cera, very funny guy, is 24. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes after 6.
Oh, Oh, what a ridiculous amount of Kevin and Bean show for you today, including the Briggs, who joined us very late in the show yesterday, talking about their anthem that has become adopted by the LA Kings this season, the last couple of seasons, called This Is LA. They'll tell us all about that song and perform it for us live. We got highlights of that coming up in a minute here. Brad Williams joins us in a few minutes. Kat Dealey from So You Think You Can Dance. Kathy Griffin. It's kind of insane how much show there is today, right?
It is, yeah. Jake Johnson.
Yeah. Waiting for word from producer Dave that Mr. Fassbender is going to be joining us. He, of course, is starring in this Prometheus movie that we've been also eagerly awaiting, finally coming out tomorrow. Seems like we've been hearing about this one for a long time because all the, you know, all the crazy Alien fans and Aliens fans have been like, oh, really? They're doing Prometheus? It's like a sequel? I guess it sort of is.
And I didn't know anything about that, but, you know, they start running the trailers, I don't know, 6 months out, and you get excited. Right. And then you go, what? I got to wait 6 months?
I know. It's brutal.
It sucks so much.
I know. It must work, though.
Yeah.
Ridley Scott, one of the greatest directors in film history, of course, did the original Alien, did Gladiator, did so many other movies. You know, I see his name on it, I'm instantly intrigued. So, all right, I think we got it. We're going to meet our new robot overlord right now. Michael Fassbender is on the phone and on the show, on the Kevin and Bean program, talking Prometheus. Hey, Mr. Fassbender, how are you?
Hey, how's it going?
Very good, thank you.
It's going great. I love that you are a robot overlord because I'm one of the people who is very seriously embracing the robots. I love what they're doing with these robots. I can't wait till we get real life series in our life and they get them to do all the stuff that people do because robots are better than people, right?
That's right. Hands down.
He's with me. Tell us a little bit about, we were just singing the praises of Ridley Scott. Tell us a little bit about what it's like doing a movie for this guy, because he seems brilliant and intimidating to me.
Yeah, he is brilliant, and I was intimidated. It was, you know, day one, I was very nervous, you know, just sort of in anticipation of working with the man, and then it was just dead easy. We had a laugh. We got on really well immediately. And we both saw the, you know, comedy in the character David. And then it was just about sort of playing around. I think, you know, he's a real philosopher in terms of the work ethic, just, you know, learn by doing. And so it was just like that, you know, if we had, either one of us had an idea, sort of put it on the floor, take a look at it. If it worked, it great. And if it didn't, sort of move on, you know, find something else. It was very sort of relaxed and actually quite sort of intimate sort of working relationship on set. It's kind of like you're part of a sort of independent film, yet it's like, wow. You know, 300 people on set on these sort of massive sets, which is a sort of story unto itself, walking onto sets that big. I don't think that'll ever happen again.
Seems like
with green screen nowadays.
I'm sorry, it seems like Ridley Scott, it seems like the director of a movie of this scale would have 5,000 people asking him questions, and he would always be tense, and it would always be a scary
rushed
thing to walk up to him.
No.
Not at all.
It's like he's just super chilled. But he is talking to all those departments in their own specific language, and he's sort of passionate with each department, and he's inspiring each department. It's incredible to see. Honestly, it's something else. And then he's like, he's filming them with multiple cameras. It was funny, he had his little sort of 3D tent pitched up and sort of got three monitors going, and he'd come out of the tent with the 3D glasses on. It was very relaxed.
I don't know that how close I'm going to sit to the screen if you're going to be in 3D, Michael Fassbender. That concerns me a great deal. I must be honest. Let me ask you about somebody else that you were on set with every day, because we've had a crush on Charlize Theron. We've been lucky enough to have her on the show many times over the years. But she just gets better and better. I mean, she's already won her Academy Award, yet she still blows me away in every movie she's in. Tell me about her.
Yeah, she's just, you know, she's solid. She's always solid. And she's got a confidence to also, you know, play around, you know, and not sort of lock anything down when we're doing scenes again. You know, things that just sort of happen and sort of she has that confidence to go in and out. And she's just a joy to work with. And we had a couple of scenes together. And, you know, beforehand we'd have a laugh, and she was sort of, you know, her dressing room was right next door, so she's just a great laugh, and then she's really on it when she's on set. And, you know, I've been a fan for many years myself. So, you know, that's when you have an ensemble cast with the likes of Charlize and Idris, and then, of course, you know, Noomi, it's a lot of fun to work in that environment because you're sort of bouncing off the other talent.
Of course, yeah. This is the voice of actor Michael Fassbender here on The Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about one of the most anticipated films of 2012, Prometheus. It opens everywhere tomorrow. We're going to play this clip, by the way. And for folks who don't know, what's great about this story is that your character, Michael, David, is created by humans. You are a robot. Yet at some point, we start to wonder if maybe you're controlling them, right? I mean, that's kind of the gist of it, is like you become maybe even a little smarter, a little better than the people that built you, right?
Well, you know, that's the thing. You know, you're sort of built to do better. So, yeah, his brain is a computer. It works faster. It works more logical without sort of emotion. and physically as well, you know. He doesn't get tired, and, you know, he's just stronger. So, and for that reason, I think there's an element of contempt from the human crew on board. And he's a bit of an outsider because of that, and I thought that was an interesting thing to play with. What happens if, you know, something that's been programmed by humans to behave a certain way, what if that programming starts to have a bleeding effect and perhaps he starts to, to develop his own sort of personality trait?
Then you put him down. That's the answer.
We've learned that, yes.
You make sure there's an off switch.
You gotta put him down. Here's the clip.
You think we wasted our time coming here, don't you?
Your question depends on me understanding what you hope to achieve by coming here.
What we hope to achieve was to meet our makers, to get answers. Why they even made us in the first place.
Why do you think your people made me?
We made you because we could.
Can you imagine how disappointing it would be for you to hear the same thing from your creator?
Off switch.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, a little too smart, huh? That's a mind death. Ah, we can't wait for this movie, Michael. We're so excited. We urge all of our listeners to run right out and see Prometheus this weekend. Great that we got a chance to catch up with you. We know you're very busy, but thanks for carving out some time for the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thanks a lot, Kevin. Thanks, Bean. And cheers, Lisa.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Bye.
Ralph has the showbiz beat coming up in minutes. Then the beautiful Kat Deely will be joining us, talking about her new dating show on Fox that Psycho Mike apparently is one of the bachelors on. What's up with that? First, though, how about our little friend Brad Williams? No pun intended, joining us live from the heart of rock and roll, Cleveland, USA. Hey, Brad, how are you, man?
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. Good.
Thank you.
You're not asleep in your little dwarf bed, are you, right now?
Listen, we are making big plans here in Dwarf World because we are very upset about something.
Why is Dwarf World upset?
Well, A, King's lost, but whatever. We've moved beyond that.
All right.
And I was sorry to be in Cleveland for that because I was trying to complain to the Cleveland sports fans. You don't understand, the Kings haven't won in forever. trying to complain to Cleveland sports fans about a championship drought is like telling an Ethiopian that you're hungry.
Yeah, that's a tough sell. You'll get no sympathy there, that's for sure.
Absolutely. But we are upset because I don't know if you guys have seen the Snow White and the Huntsman movie yet.
Not yet.
But I saw it, and I was excited because, you know, Snow White, there's supposed to be seven dwarves in the movie, right?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, not in this one.
There's no seven dwarves?
They're dwarves, but they're played by tall people.
What a burn. What a burn.
They have dwarves played by tall people. They actually use CGI to shrink tall people down to play dwarves, because apparently it's offensive when dwarves play dwarves.
Is that the problem? Are they afraid of being unpolitically correct if they use dwarves?
I don't know if that was the problem. Some people are saying, well, they used the tall people because they were better actors.
And they got really very experienced English actors.
Well, I would say BS to that, because guess what? Kristen Stewart is in the movie.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
So what? So obviously they're not going for better actors. And well, they used over $1 million on the CGI on the CGI to make sure dwarves were not in the movie. They paid to not have dwarves for 2 hours. Do you realize that most people go to Vegas and Reno and pay, you know, a couple hundred bucks to have a dwarf for a couple of hours?
That's true.
Yeah, that's a good point. They went out of their way to make sure there were no little people used in making this film. You're right. It must be awfully tough. We were talking about this on the show yesterday with Ralph. It must be so tough if you are a little person actor when you know that a Snow White movie is coming up and you feel like, finally, I'm going to get some work and keep my health insurance by getting a job. And then you find out that they basically are putting somebody else's face on another dwarf's body or something, or worse, taking a regular-sized person and shrinking them down. That has to be a slap in your tiny little face.
Exactly, because they wouldn't do this with other groups. If the original story was Snow White and the Seven Negroes, you wouldn't have a bunch of white dudes coming in and playing that.
They would have to CGI them up.
Although, to be honest with you, Snow White and the Seven Negroes would be awesome, because the song "Hi Ho" would have a completely different meaning.
Thank you. Be here all week.
I just can't believe this, that they would actually pay extra money and to not have dwarves in their movie, and that more people aren't outraged about this. People don't understand. This would be like if they made another Star Wars movie and didn't cast Khloe Kardashian as Chewbacca.
That's true. There would be a universal outcry.
So we are going to protest. We are organizing the Million Midget March.
You're not
going
to do anything.
This is going to happen. Me and some of the dwarves from Beecher's Madhouse are going to protest at Universal.
Fantastic. When's that going to happen?
We're trying to figure out the date, and we're trying to make all of our picket signs together. I mean, it's not that hard. We're using 3x5 cards, but
sure.
Whatever.
We're sending down our A-level reporter beer mug to cover it.
Absolutely. I mean, now he lost so much weight, he's practically a dwarf himself.
Exactly. All right, Brad Williams, have fun out there in Cleveland, man, on the road. And don't forget, you can check out Brad's About Last Night podcast through the Toad Hop Network, and it's very, very funny. You'll come back and see us again soon, I hope, right?
Absolutely. Thanks so much, guys.
All right, man. Thank you.
Bye, Brad.
Bye.
Beautiful Cat Deely joins us coming up next year on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's going on?
I don't know. Why did Kevin make the Kings lose last night?
How dare you?
And then
did he kind of jinx them?
Did everything I could.
And then he gets Charlie Sheen all riled up.
What?
What?
Yeah. Charlie Sheen at the Kings game last night.
Was he there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, who knew?
Making a big stink. You've got to go to TMZ.com. Great video of Charlie going insane after he steps outside the stadium for a smoke break.
And they don't let him back in?
They don't let him back in.
Really? They do that?
There's signs everywhere, by the way.
Oh.
Signs everywhere.
But he's Charlie Sheen.
Right.
But here's the thing. There is a giant smoking patio at the Staples that you can go out to on the second or third floor there.
So you don't have to step
huge
outside.
Patio. Go out there and you can smoke and you can come right back in. It's part of the facility.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to leave
right
and then try to muscle your way back in like Charlie Sheen did. To a no-nonsense female security guard who would not budge, not even for Charlie Sheen. Well, he loses his mind. You got to see the video.
Love
it's great.
It. Wow.
Yeah. Doesn't even make any sense. Blow my balls. Charlie doesn't. Madness.
Doesn't even sound fun.
Charlie's buddies try in vain, says TMZ, to keep him away from the camera, but he goes off. Have common sense and common courtesy gone in society? That's what I was trying to impress upon her. Well, I'm sure.
What?
I'm sure that's what she took from you saying that.
That's what Charlie Sheen was trying to get across to society?
Yeah.
Please.
So, Kevin causing all kinds of problems at the Staples Center.
I caused none.
Nice job, Kevin.
Although I did almost run over a celebrity. I'll have to tell you who later.
Why later?
Well, because I don't want to take up your time.
It's showbiz news. A celebrity almost being run over, I consider showbiz news.
I'll let you try and guess who the celebrity is, but my car was covered in photographers like it was Walking Dead. And the celebrity was behind me, and I wanted to get out because I was pissed because we lost.
Yeah.
So I put it in reverse, and I started to back up, and then I saw who I almost bumped into.
All right. It's got to be Bieber. Bieber and his girlfriend at the Kings game.
No, because he wouldn't have slowed down. He wouldn't have stopped.
That's true. Sure. Kevin just would have gunned
it. Bieber, he'd be under his
plus,
car right
Bieber's
now.
Probably in France.
I'll give you this clue.
Right.
It doesn't even make any sense to me. But
doesn't make any sense to you, but the paparazzi were all over this person.
Yes.
So that's a person you don't think is so famous.
Well, she's famous, but...
Oh, it's a she! Ha-ha! Ha-ha! Clue!
Oh, shoot.
Khloe Kardashian.
Ellen Page.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Sure, she's a Canadian. She probably loves hockey.
Okay, kind of hard to spot, though, even.
Yeah, she was tiny.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't run over her.
I almost did, but...
You know, she could have just ducked, though, and just
that's true.
Been under your car. You just would have drove over her head, and she would have stood back up again. It would have been awesome.
I've never felt that, though. Those guys are vultures. They're vultures.
Oh, they're ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a swarm.
Unbelievable.
I don't know how they sleep at
night. For Ellen Page, I mean, what...
Yeah, what's the market for Ellen Page photographs right now?
I didn't get it.
Maybe you were really in one of her dreams. Did you ever think about that, Kevin? Maybe it wasn't even real.
See, in Inception, there's a thing.
See, you guys, you get it, right? Come on. Who's with me?
Fine. You know what you can retire? The who's with me. Just an assumption. The answer is always no one. So just,
when Ralph says it, there's usually someone.
There's a chance.
Yes, there's a chance with any of us.
Yeah.
Except
Lisa
you.
Gave me a courtesy laugh.
I did.
I appreciate that.
But she's not with you.
Speaking of the game last night, real quick, Ralph, did you watch it all?
Yes, I watched it all.
Did you see porn star Taylor Stevens behind the Devil's Bench?
Is that who that was?
Yes.
Taylor Stevens.
Yes.
I did see her giant cans.
I just tweeted her giant cans.
And I kept I kept hitting the replay 10 seconds back and back and back and back every time they showed the Devil's coach on the sides there. And my wife's like, what are you doing? And I was like, nothing. Just want to see, want to hear what they said about that guy who played that goal. Who's going to score that thing on the ice with the stick.
By the way, you call those cheap implants boobs? Those aren't boobs. They're lies.
Yeah, I like those lies.
She was the closest fan to the coach of the Devils.
Yeah.
She couldn't have been more than a foot away from him. Right? She put him on the glass, basically, to do everything she could to distract him. It was hilarious.
It was.
Yeah, it was sweet.
While we're talking about paparazzi, like Kevin just was, Kristen Stewart is still bitching about the press and the media in her new Vanity Fair interview.
She's so lucky anyone's talking about her.
Oh, Kevin, they are all S-eaters, and they're ruining her life, and they're the worst. She said that when she was 18 years old, just before the first Twilight film hit theaters, paparazzi caught her smoking marijuana, took pictures of her smoking a joint, and published them, and that scandal still haunts her.
What?
It changed my life instantly. She said,
how?
Because they had caught a picture of her smoking marijuana.
Right.
And at 18 years old, she had to grow up overnight, she said, because they changed her life and it still haunts her and almost ruined her life. To which I said, you know what? I've smoked plenty of pot in my life. You know what? I've never done it. In a place where anyone could take a picture of me. You know where I smoke it? In my home, where there are no paparazzi. Douchebag. What, do you think you can just do whatever you want, anywhere you want, and no one's going to hold you accountable?
She doesn't even have to be in showbiz. She could walk away from that.
Cartoon death. I wish her cartoon death.
Now, you want her to get hit by a safe also, or is that just reserved for
cartoon
Taylor Swift?
Death? Cartoon death means any number of possible hilarious deaths.
You run off the edge of the Grand Canyon.
Exactly. Whatever. And then you look real quick at us before, and then you drop down, and then there's like a cloud outline of your body after you fall, or a safe falling off a building and crushing you into an accordion shape, or a piano. And then when you come up busted up through the piano, all the piano's keys are in your teeth, and it looks like you have big, giant white and black teeth. There's a lot of cartoon deaths out there.
How about Acme Dynamite? Can that be part of it too?
Yeah, well, no, it's got to be. It can't just blow up. It's got to be something interesting, you know, like you're in a pile of birdseed and you get pecked to death by a roadrunner or something. I mean, it's got to be some cartoon element to it. But I wish for cartoon death. Absolutely. Today's celebrity birthday is singer Tom Jones is 72 years old today. Liam Neeson celebrates his 60th birthday. Prince is 54. Gordon Gano of Violent Femmes. No, that's Gordon Lightfoot.
No, nope.
This is Gordon Gano.
Nope. So excited for
of Violent Femmes, and of course the movie Wall Street. We'll remember his big speech.
Nope.
Greed is
no,
good.
No, no, no. That was Gordon either. Gecko. That was
49 years old.
Michael Douglas'
today.
The character Gordon Gecko.
Eric Gretz of Stone Temple Pilots is 46. Dave Navarro turns 45 years old. Bear Grylls 38. Eric Johnson of The Shins is 36. Bill Hader from SNL is 34 years old. Anna Kournikova celebrates her 31st birthday. And actor Michael Cera celebrates 24 years. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
A lot of shows still coming up today, including our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky. Also, actor Jake Johnson is going to be here. And we're going to talk to Colin Hanks in a few minutes, try to talk him off the ledge as a lifelong Kings fan. It may be tough for him to accept losing one in the playoffs the way it's been going so far. But we've got him on the phone in just a couple minutes, too. Hey, Kat Dealey is
Hello,
on the phone.
Good morning.
Hi. Kat, we love you so much. I can't believe we've never had you on the Kevin and Bean Show in all these years. This is insane.
I know. Now my life is complete.
That's what we were thinking.
We feel the exact same way. How are you?
I'm really good. I'm calling you from a very sunny New York City. I'm doing loads of promo because we've got the two shows out at the moment. So I'm keeping on running, and then I'm back to L.A. tonight.
All right, well, we're going to go fast and let you get back to it. Let's start with So You Think You Can Dance, which is unbelievable to me that this show gets bigger and bigger every year. Congratulations. You had a huge premiere last week. I never thought that I would care about a dancing show because I am not one of these people that is moved by dancing. You know how some people, they see it and it touches them and it's beautiful. I mean, I just appreciate the enthusiasm and the athleticism of what they do. But how can there be this many people out there who want to dance for a living? Where are they all coming from?
You know what? I have no idea. But dancers are a really unique breed of people, I think, because, you know, you don't become a dancer to become rich and famous. You're normally the backup person.
Right.
You know, you have a very small career normally. You stand a chance of getting injured every single day. The only reason people dance is because they can't imagine their life without it.
That's me. And dancing is like breathing.
Is it, my darling? Is it like that to you?
Yes, it is.
I did not know that either.
I love that. No, it is. It's like one of those really strange things. And actually, I think that's what attracts people to the show. You know, there is a real purity to it, and it's a reality show. Unashamedly, it's a reality show. But also, it's about celebrating people's talent, and it's really feel good, you know? And I think that's kind of the secret to our success, I think.
Yeah, you're right. You do want to see people make, you know, get that break and have a chance to follow their dream. And that must make it, I mean, that's one of the things that you do so beautifully on the show, because you have some very fragile egos in your hands that you are catching them at the most vulnerable time in their life. And you have to try to sometimes ease them down when it doesn't go their way, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think weirdly that of course that's what happens on the show, but I think we all feel that at different times in our lives. You know, when you've maybe tried something and it hasn't quite worked out and you have to pick yourself up and dust yourself off. And I think that's what people really identify with. It's that human element. And you're absolutely right. I see my role as kind of cheerleader, big sister, arm around if the judges get too negative. You know, that's kind of how I see my role.
All right, let's ask you one more So You Think You Can Dance question, then we'll move on to the new show, and that is, tell us about the kid in the hamster suit recently that we sensed you wanted to kill with lasers from your eyes. You hated him so much.
You know what? I hate negativity, and it's literally like, you can't do that, actually, and most definitely not on this show, because that's not what we do. And it's like, we're about celebrating people's talent, and if you're literally just going to come on this show and kind of use it to whatever way you want to, I can see straight through you. I can't be bothered to even give you my time. So take your gerbil costume and get out of here.
It was funny because for everybody else, you want to catch them gently and put your arm around them. And for him, you couldn't have kicked him in the ass fast enough. And that's the right move.
You can see through people. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
I'm not going to just... How I react to people is how I feel and the vibes that I get off them. And you can tell if people are genuine or not. And when they're not genuine, it's like, you know what? Don't waste my time, buddy.
Right.
This is the voice of the beautiful Kat Dealey here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking not only about So You Think You Can Dance, but her new show that debuts tonight at 9 on Fox. It is called The Choice. And correct me if I'm wrong, Miss Dealey, but this couldn't be more of a ripoff of The Voice, right? I mean, this, you practically stole their set, except instead of singing, they're trying to make impressions as a date partner, right?
I have absolutely no idea what you mean.
Oh, well, that's weird.
You know, the chairs and the buttons and the turning around.
I think it's all coincidence, my friend.
Oh, I see. All right. So explain the show for people who haven't seen it yet. It debuts tonight, right?
It's a fun, silly, entertaining show. Its tongue is firmly in its cheek. It's literally, we take sexy singles from all over America, and they have the chance to date eligible celebrity bachelor and bachelorettes on the show. And literally there's three rounds. There's the chair round where they have to try and make a connection with the celebrity just by using, you know, their voice or their sense of humor or their intellect or whatever. Then there's a speed date round, and then there's a final question, and then the celebrity chooses, and then they go out on a date that very night. And we've got some great celebrities. Like, the great thing about it is they've cast it really well, so that there's somebody for everybody. Depending on your type, there will be somebody sitting in those chairs
that is right for you.
Yeah, so you have great celebrities and you have bad celebrities. You need them all. I mean, you got Mike the Situation Sorrentino.
You want a mixture of people.
Agreed.
You know, you want some people who are kind of quieter and more serious. You want some people that are super outgoing. You want some people that are funny. You know, we've got like Joe Jonas is on the show, Taylor Hicks. We've got DJ Paulie D. We've got Rocco DiSpirito, the chef. We've got football players. We've got Olympians. We've got Tyson Beckford, male supermodel. It's a real mixture. And actually what's really interesting is now people are starting to actually call up the show and go, can I come on?
How disappointed must the person be who's going to end up with Joe Jonas? Isn't he the dude with the virginity ring?
Yes, you know what? The girls go crazy for it. I think it means that you're super sensitive and you're just waiting for the right person.
Ah.
And the romantic notion is it could be me.
You know, here's the thing about that. That could be a complete just gimmick.
Could be a cover. Could be a cover story.
Yep. And he's just nailing left and right with that ring.
Yep. You're absolutely
interesting.
Right. Hey, I know you have to go, Kat. Will we see any footage on the follow up dates after they select their people? Is that what happens on the follow up episodes? We see how the date went.
Yeah, absolutely. You will get to see exactly how the date went. And it's funny because sometimes they meet them for the first time and you're like, this is going to be nothing more than just a fun date. They're going to have a nice dinner and it's going to be cute. But then you have some people meet their person for the first time and literally it's Thunderbolt City. There's the Bachelorette episode. Carmen Electra is, oh my God, it's like Thunderbolt City with this guy. The chemistry is palpable. So you're going to have to tune in to see how the date goes.
The follow-up is most important. Mike Catherwood is a friend of ours, and I want to see how the girl that picks him enjoys her night at the fart buffet or whatever, wherever he's taking her.
He was hilarious, though, on the show. He was so much fun. Oh my God, it was so great to have him on.
Well, we can't wait. The Choice is the show. It airs on Fox tonight. Its premiere is at 9 o'clock. Kat, let's not save it another 10 years to have you on again. Thank you so much for the time today.
Let's make it a weekly occurrence.
All right, good enough.
Very sad news for Morrissey fans.
He's dead?
Nope. He's announced that he's retiring, Kevin. After 30 years in the business, he says when he's 55, he's going to give it all up. He says he's aging. He just can't go on. The body changes shape. There's nothing you can do about it. After 30 years in the business, he says he's had enough. He can't do it anymore.
At the end of the statement, he says, we will all probably be blown up anyway by the Syrian government, so it hardly matters in the greater scheme of things.
Really? Oh my God.
We wanted to find out more about this because Morrissey, of course, and his former band The Smiths, some of the greatest K-rock artists in our history, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Morrissey. Welcome back.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're good.
We're fine. You okay, man? Your statement was a little bit of a bummer.
No, not at all. I'm very happy.
As happy as you get?
This is about it.
This is it, yeah. So you had to announce that you're going to retire 2 years from now.
I'm retiring.
Okay, that's... Yeah, you're retiring. Yeah. Now, I'm a little bit concerned at 53 years old that you already feel like your body is breaking down. I mean, you don't seem like the most... You're not a guy who jumps up and down a lot on stage. What's worn you out so fast?
Well, everything. The body changes shape.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, your hair gets a little thinner.
Sure.
Right.
Man boobs get a little larger.
Well, right. There's just that.
It starts to become embarrassing. You can't be a pop star forever because you start to look like a fool up on stage.
Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter because the cannibals are eating everyone anyway.
Well, there have been a few.
We'll all be eaten by cannibals. So what difference does it make whether I'm on stage or not?
I don't know that we'll all be eaten by cannibals.
There's been a few stories. Your music is famously sad and mopey, but
I don't think so at all.
Really? A lot of your songs are about, you know, your girlfriend is in a coma and you're going to get hit by a bus and all the bad stuff that happens.
It's rather festive.
Festive is the word you now. Use.
Party music.
Party music.
Are you a mopey, sad person in real life, Morrissey?
No. Not at all.
You're not.
No, I'm rather upbeat. Huh. I'm rather upbeat. Oh.
I don't know.
Bees are dying.
What?
Yeah. There has been the colony hive disorder. Yeah,
the bees are dying.
Yeah. So we'll probably all be dead in about 5 years.
Well, I don't know that it's 5 years.
The ants don't rise up and eat our flesh off our bones.
Oh, wow.
You've got an awful lot to worry about, don't you, Morrissey?
Well, it's the world, isn't it? It's
not really.
Life. It's what the world we live in.
Right.
Hey, how about that flesh-eating bacteria? That's something, isn't it? A lot of people are losing limbs from flesh-eating bacteria.
Right.
It's got to be a bad way to go.
I don't think so. I don't think that would be bad.
Not all the time.
I don't want my flesh eaten. My bacteria.
That's reasonable, I think.
We can all agree.
There you see those tears. Look at them. Teardrops the size of pineapple chunks.
Someone doing some announcing as the fans filed out of Staples Center last night. Like you said earlier, it's the longest case of blue balls in sports history.
Oh.
45 years Kings fans have been waiting for a Stanley Cup, and now it looks like they're going to have to wait a few extra days.
Do you want to hear a drunk, disappointed, I've been outside since noon beer mug at the, what were you, ESPN Sports Zone?
Yeah, ESPN Zone.
Yes, I do.
This is him after the Kings lost.
What happened with the Kings tonight?
$2,000 in the garbage. 27 years of love. And God, why you got to do me? Not even cool.
Thank you, sir.
Sir, I thank you. I'm getting the old school throwback 78 Kings skull, Kings crown tattooed on my hand.
What are you doing that?
When we win.
First of all, it's if. Second of all, that's funny to hear drunk people.
I don't know who's more pathetic in that interview, Beer Mug or the guy who's talking.
I think Beer Mug.
I tell you who wasn't there in the building last night, as he has been many nights since the 1980s, is our friend Colin Hanks, who joins us back on the phone. Still in New York, Colin? Is that where you are?
I'm still in New York, but I'm on my way back to Los Angeles.
On your way back to Los Angeles? I thought you were staying in the area through Saturday.
No, I'm not allowed to. My wife said I had to come home, and I do what I'm told.
I hear you. All right.
Where did you watch the game last night, Colin?
I watched the game at a former Kings player who owns a bar. Sean Avery owns this. It's called 77 Warren, and I watched the game there with a bunch of Kings fans. I actually found some Kings fans there.
How about
that? I was wondering about that because you happen to be in the New York City area. I was wondering if you were going to have trouble getting a crowd together because there got to be a lot of Devils fans.
Well, not as many Devils fans as you would think. There were actually a lot of Rangers fans that were wanting to see the Devils lose. So I thought that was a good. That worked out well.
So you had that in common with them?
We had that in common with them. And, you know, Sean Avery was very good at getting under Marty Brodeur's skin. So I thought I'd sort of borrow a little touch of Avery right there.
Smart. And, by the way, not that Marty Brodeur needs any props from us because he's one of the greatest, if not the greatest goalie in history, but the dude's 40 years old, and you look at the way he played last night and you go, my God, he hasn't lost a step.
It's absolutely amazing. I mean, you sort of hit the nail on the head. I mean, for him to be he is easily one of the best goaltenders the game has ever seen, but the fact that he's doing this and playing like this at this level at the age of 40, I mean, that's like a testament of science almost.
But
almost.
But would it kill him to lose a step? I mean, we only need one step. That's it.
Well, actually, you want to know what? I would actually like it if the goalposts were just a little bit wider, because that is really what killed us more than anything else. We were able to get shots past Marty. Unfortunately, there was always a goalpost right there.
There was one
which
shot.
Is the reason why it's called the goalie's best friend.
Yeah. There was one shot that got past him, and it hit the inside of the post and bounced out. And the ref behind the goal turned on the goal light for just a second.
Oh, no.
And then went, I saw that. And turned it right back off. And we were like, what?
That's
that would hurt.
Yeah.
That's just the tip. That's what that is, man. That hurt. All right, so Kevin, tell me about how you were of two minds last night. One was watching the game and rooting on your fans, but the other one was spending as much time as possible texting and tweeting Colin Hanks to rub in the fact that he wasn't there. Right?
I tried to taunt him. Yeah, he was taking.
Yeah, I didn't need that photo of you. You sent a photo of, and I challenge you to find a more unglamorous photo.
Yeah, it's me just looking ridiculously stupid. But then I also sent you a photo of you at the Kings game.
Yeah, from the night before.
From the night before, yeah.
Exactly.
From the previous game.
Well, and I just thought...
I believe I replied that's not fair.
Yeah, you did. That's not fair.
So look, let's put it in perspective here. If somebody had come to Kings fans before the Stanley Cup final and said, hey, you guys are going to be up 3-1
everybody, 100% of people would have been ecstatic with that. I mean, this is a fantastic place to be, right, Colin?
Of course.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, look, you want to be able to win it at home for all the fans. You want to be able to end it, because these guys have been playing this hard for what, 2 months now already, it seems, or a month at least. I mean, a long time.
No, it's been two.
But I'll take up 3-1. I'd like to win it at 4-1. That sounds good.
you don't want to give the other team too much hope. You do want to close things out so that, you know, when you can. And there is also something beautiful about doing it in front of their fans.
There is something beautiful about it, but I think any hockey fan will tell you, it doesn't matter if it's at home or on the road. The only thing that matters is getting the cup. And
exactly.
if that happens, that's all I want. That's all I've wanted since 1987.
So Saturday night, it's in New Jersey. And then in the event that there is another game, does it come back to Los Angeles?
Yes.
Or stay,
comes back,
it does come back.
LA on Monday, yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, Monday, are you going to have things sorted out with the little woman? You're going to put her in her place? You're going to be able to go to Monday's game if there is one, Colin?
You know, you don't talk about my wife that way. You don't talk about anyone's wife that way. But I make sure that I do everything I need to do to guarantee that I can go to that game.
All right,
I'm I'm talking flowers, a night out, wining and dining. I'll do everything I need to do to be able to get to that game.
One last question.
What happened with the Kings tonight?
I'm hoping we don't need that game.
I am too.
All right. Listen, if they win Saturday, we'll talk to you on Monday, all right? You are our official Kings correspondent for the Stanley Cup. Thank you for the time, Colin Hanks.
Thanks, guys. Take it easy.
Now? Yeah. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54. Sorry. Sorry. I apologize.
Great news for the gays. Your queen, Kathy Griffin, joins us in studio coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Talking about the gays. Yes. We gotta start vetting Bean's questions before he starts talking to the guests.
Agreed.
Because it's just starting to get embarrassing.
What are you talking about?
Now what?
Because usually he can be Creepy Bean.
Right.
Or he can be Bean the Interview Killer.
Uh-huh.
But rarely is he Creepy Bean the Interview Killer.
Oh, wow.
Like he was with Michael Fassbender this morning.
What was the problem with our Michael Fassbender?
Brilliant actor starring in one of the most prestigious films of the summer, Prometheus, coming out this weekend. Now, I know there have been jokes made about his size of his penis. I know... That old
joke. Well, that's
joke
what he's most known for,
no,
I think,
not.
At this point.
I think he's known for being a movie star and a great actor. And Charlize Theron can take their jabs, and George Clooney can make the occasional humorous aside. And they get away with it because they're sort of his peers, you know?
Right.
And then he's got to deal with some Yahoo DJ bringing it up again in the most cheesy manner possible. Here's a little taste.
I don't know that how close I'm going to sit to the screen if you're going to be in 3D, Michael Fassbender. That concerns me a great deal. I must be honest. All right, that's a legitimate joke based on a guy who became famous for showing his penis in Shame.
But what's he supposed to say?
And
to
he
that?
Laughed. He laughed at it.
He gave you the most kind courtesy chuckle I ever heard. He's like, okay, can we please move along, please? Just,
if you're asking me to take it back, I will.
No one's asking you to take it back because we don't assume that you would. You're so unaware of your own horribleness. It's just, Michael.
At least
the guy
aware
with a giant penis
right,
plus
yeah, exactly.
3D.
But doesn't that just smack of just snarky, cheesy, hack?
But he loves
low-hanging fruit joke.
I didn't say it was low-hanging. I said it was big.
Yep, you need a sound effect.
Yeah, you need a sound effect for that. So, to Michael Fassbender. And to everyone. Apologies. Just really. Great news! Warner Brothers has announced. This might be the best news ever.
Wow.
This
wow.
may, I hold in my hand, the best news ever.
Ever.
Okay. Warner Brothers has announced. They have finally sifted through the very complicated rights issues. And they are announcing that this year, for the first time ever, they're going to produce merchandise based on the 1960s Batman TV series!
Yay!
Where's the best news ever?
This is it! T-shirts, posters, coffee mugs, glasses, cats, dogs sleeping together.
What's the rush?
Mass hysteria.
Mass hysteria. It's going to be, for the first time in 40 years, official Batman merchandise featuring the likenesses of Adam West, TV's Batman, Burt Ward, Julie Newmar, Cesar Romero, Burgess Meredith, Frank Gorshin, the whole cast featured in merchandise. Not interested.
What happened, Ralph? What happened?
Oh, so sweet. Not interested.
Oh, very, very sweet.
And everyone is saying this could be...
Or else the Batman fanatic.
The pathway to... Mm-hmm. Finally, the release of the series on DVD.
Oh,
that's gonna have great news.
Are you going to have a parade when that happens?
I will. I'm going to skate the DVD around the rink down there at Staples Center.
But I don't
thunderous applause.
I don't understand, Ralph, because the hang up with the, as we've discussed, the hang up with the DVD release is because one company owns Batman and one company owns the TV show, right?
No, actually the hang up is that everyone who needs to get a piece of the pie. The financial divvying up of whatever proceeds might come from that DVD sale has to go to the estates of the people who wrote the scripts, the actors music. Who appeared, the composers of the theme and the music.
Isn't that true of every TV show that's ever been put out and they've figured out how to do it?
No, because a lot of post-60 TV shows, these issues were worked out in the contracts at the time. This all has to be done retroactively, and so everybody's got their hands out. And then it's compounded with the fact that 20th Century Fox did the series, but Warner Brothers now owns the character.
That's what I was referring to, yeah. And they've worked whatever they need to work out for merchandise, so like you're saying, that's maybe a step in the right direction, which is great.
Yeah, so... They are going to reveal the new merchandise at the Licensing Expo in Vegas.
Oh, that's
going
to be exciting.
You're going to be there. You got to be
next
week,
so I got to take next week off.
You got to go.
Give me some of my extra vacation days and go to Las Vegas. I got to go out there and check the Licensing Expo out.
The whole week?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't want to miss anything. You know how I am. I'm sure. Thorough.
You are thorough.
I wonder how many things they're going to make.
Things. That's all that matters.
Because at the time, when the show was on the air, they made hundreds of items.
Yeah, but very few with any image of the actors on it. Uh-huh. Because they were smart. The actors in their contracts said, if you use my likeness on the dolls or bubblegum cards or whatever, I get a little taste. So they said, you know what, we'll just draw Batman. We'll just do the cartoon version and not give anything to anybody.
What's the point of this story?
It's Batman! That's the point of the story! If you'd like to hear me go on at length about this story, even longer than I have, this Saturday at the John Lovitz Theater, Hollywood Babylon, me and Psycho Mike teaming up again. It's a reunion of sorts. The reunion of the good people from this show. Well, Lisa May won't be there, but most of the good people from this show will be reunited on stage on Saturday night.
And you promised to talk at length about Batman?
And I promise to talk at length about Batman.
Excellent. I can miss both at the same time.
We'll have a good time. And we'll talk about midgets. Today's celebrity birthdays, Tom Jones. Kevin says, where's beer mug? Is he going to be pointing at beer mug? Celebrity birthdays, Tom Jones is 72 years old today. Actor Liam Neeson is 60 years old.
I don't want to see him up in 3D too close. He's got a big penis, too.
Prince is 54 years old today. Gordon Gannon with the Violent Femmes is 49. Eric Kretz of Stone Temple Pilots turns 46. Dave Navarro, he's good. He's a good guitarist.
He is.
45 years old today. Bear Grylls of Man vs. Wild fame is 38. Eric Johnson of The Shins is 36. Sure. Bill Hader from Saturday Night Live is 34 years old. Anna Kournikova celebrates her 31st birthday. And... actor Michael Cera. He's 24. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8 minutes after 8 o'clock.
I have all of our fingers on all of the buttons because we have no idea.
There is a tension in the room. I feel it and I see it.
You caused it.
I've slept in my makeup.
We know.
I'm bitter.
You look lovely, though.
I have.
It works for you.
I have coffee and sugar-free Red Bull.
Oh,
and
no.
And if anybody has some Whippets or bath salts, I am in.
Now, why no sleep last night? Why were you so busy?
It's me, Kathy Griffin, from The Kathy Show, Thursdays at 10 on Bravo, your favorite channel, so I can't just bring it. Bring your judgment.
I was so shocked that your show was on Bravo.
Okay, yeah. See?
Was there room on Logo for you?
Oh, my God, I love Logo.
Of course you do.
Because it's like the A-List New York, A-List Dallas. Who can decide?
Who can decide?
Really? Can you guys even believe Vicky's water rafting trip this
Vicky
week
is
on Housewives
of control.
OC?
She is ridiculous.
Whoever
am
that
I
is.
Right?
All right, let's talk about last night. So clearly you were at the Kings game, and you're all sad because they lost. That's clearly where you were, right, Kathy?
You know what I feel bad about? I feel bad about Lamar getting traded from the Kings because I know people feel
Lakers.
Lakers. LaMar's on the Lakers.
I feel bad about James Worthy not getting that three-pointer from the line.
He hasn't played in a long, long time, James Worthy.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I'm guessing you didn't get sleep because you have a 33-year-old boyfriend now. Is that why?
I have a 33-year-old boyfriend.
And he keeps you busy in the rack.
He keeps me busy and sore.
On the sheets.
I could be having an infection right now just from overuse.
Well, let's take a look.
What do you think?
Well, looks good to me.
Once again, I'm bejazzled.
Yes,
I don't come to K-Rock unless I'm bejazzled.
That has been your rule.
And we who's the new guy?
The new guy's Beer Mug. It's Beer
okay,
Mug,
you yeah. know what? This is ridiculous. Can you keep this? The turnover here
yeah,
is horrifying.
Well, Mike Catherwood had to go on to Superstardom. He had to leave us.
But
he used to do that
I thought Carson
job.
Daly was going to be here.
No, Carson's down the
what
hallway.
What about Jimmy Kimmel? Is he going
to Kimmel has
sports?
Moved on to other things
he
as
has
well.
Another show now.
People who can move on do.
Yes.
Thank God
and those
for
of us
Lisa.
Who can't
Thank
just
God.
Weep quietly.
Thank God for Lisa.
All right.
Let me ask you a serious question, Mr.
Okay, go ahead.
And that is, how do you meet the common folks? I mean, I know you meet the common folks, but
well,
how do you...
Well, first of all, I do want to say that on tonight's Kathy, it's my first celebrity show because I swore up and down I was not going to have any celebrities because I feel celebrities will not talk smack in the way
that was your thing is you're going to be a regular
and tonight,
people
in
show,
fact
right.
I have Chelsea Handler and Whitney Cummings so
why
screw me
did you
and the
go
horse
back
I flew in on
why did you go back on your promise
because they came to me and they said Chelsea and Whitney came to me and they said we promise not to hold back and I said I don't trust you girls run with celebrity packs. Mm-hmm. And, in fact, they brought the heat. So tonight's show is very good. Now, on next week's show, I do have a civilian named Ralph Garman, who's actually
right?
on. You don't know that?
No.
Oh,
no, I haven't talked about that.
Did you know that, Ralph?
Did I know that? Yes, I knew
Ralph
that.
Ralph is going to be on my civilian panel, because he's not really famous enough to be, like, you
right.
know, best-selling
True.
Author.
Right.
Would you do us a favor? Just call him best-selling author. Just
sure.
introduce him that
oh,
way.
Oh, on my show?
Yeah.
That would just confuse people.
Believe me,
matter.
I can yeah. call him whatever I want.
Okay,
it's right. fantastic.
Yeah.
yeah.
How do you meet and date civilians was the question I was
all right,
trying
the
to
the way
get
that
to
I
know.
Met the guy that I'm seeing now
because I thought celebrities only dated celebrities.
Well, I don't do that because I'm fearful of the whatever they're spreading to each other. So, like, when
right.
you hear about, like, a Craig Bierko, you know, Google him. He's dated, like, many, many starlets. Or you see, like, hasn't A-Rod dated, like, Cameron Diaz
Everyone.
As well as, like,
yes.
Kate Hudson
yeah.
or something?
Yeah.
Wilma Valderrama, same thing.
Yeah.
I've had enough infections in my life. You
okay.
guys know that.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys remember one of my first UTIs, remember?
I do.
Yeah,
I know.
I do.
Oh,
yeah.
my gosh.
All
anyway,
that cranberry juice you sent us out for?
And for what? You know what I mean? I still get them.
Right.
But I actually took myself off the road for a weekend purposely to troll for men. I'm basically a predator. And the people that say, when you're not looking, that's when you'll find it, are full of crap.
Okay.
I looked.
Where did you
I basically
look?
Had like a miner's hat with a light at the end of it.
right.
And I actually met him at a food and wine fest.
A food and wine fest.
Yeah.
All right.
So you had to get him drunk first. Is that what you're saying?
He was foggy.
Yeah.
He was foggy. I mean, they always are, honey. They're
yeah,
always.
You have to take advantage of the foggy.
But you know that I've never had a drink in my life.
Right.
So
right.
it's essential that I troll for guys that are openly foggy
right.
while I am clear as a bell.
Right. Yeah,
but
sure.
is it so. Awkward when you're a celebrity dating a civilian to wonder if they are just wanting to go out with you because you're famous?
Yes.
Or
it's always
they
an
actually
issue.
Like you?
Not
it's
if he's a straight guy.
He's That's like, true.
If he's a straight guy, he's not dating Kathy Griffin because she's famous.
Oh, by the way, this is what he thought. He knew me from being on Seinfeld twice.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he knew me from this show.
Right. All right.
Interesting.
Really? Right. That's okay with
That's
you?
That
makes sense,
The fact
yeah.
that 2 Emmys, 8 Emmy nominations, and 4 Grammy nominations, and household name doesn't mean anything.
But I think
straight.
That's good.
He's
that's
straight
good
for
perfect.
You.
Yeah.
I thought
I'm
you were using that as a positive.
You schooled him, though, right?
He doesn't, but yeah, I schooled
him. She sat
him
down and made
him
watch the real,
you watch my stuff.
I don't understand
stuff.
The bros. I mean, he's super into sports, which is so annoying.
Right. You won't keep him for long. Don't worry about it.
You've got a man. You've got a man's man.
I have a man's man. He loves you guys. Listens every morning.
See? Excellent
yeah.
taste. Dude.
Yeah. So I'm trying to walk among you and understand your mating habits.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, when he comes to the taping of the Kathy Show every week, he doesn't know what the hell we're talking about.
Okay.
Right.
He does. You know what's weird? He has until he met me. He's never seen Toddlers and Tiaras.
Well, I would guess that's true of most.
That's again
well,
is a plus.
She's opening
a plus.
Her
English, please.
For him.
English.
Most
no
people.
Comprende.
I listen. I'm with you. That show
is
rules.
He
going to
watch
that
the Honey Boo Boo show with you when it comes on?
He know. He actually now I think knows like who Baby Eden is.
Oh, that's good.
So I've really yeah. corrupted him. And the first time I showed him Hoarders, he looked mesmerized and said, "Oh my God, I could watch this for hours." And I said, "Thank you."
Right.
Thank
right.
you. Now you're in
has
my world.
Been, has there been, besides
but
the
he sneaks sports on the phone. Like, you
sure,
bro
that
weirdos.
Cheater.
That's how you do,
yes.
yeah.
You have to get
he
it
does
where you can.
The, like, I'm checking the weather for your next tour date. And I'm like, the weather doesn't include something called a playoff.
Let me ask you this, though. Besides
why
the pop
is the
culture,
Miami Heat called the Heat when it's obvious it's a hot city? That makes no sense to me.
Well, it makes perfect sense. Miami Heat.
But can't you guys put any more thought into these things? The Miami Heat. Oh, that's really original. Way to go, bros.
Kathy, besides the pop culture curve that you guys have had to work on, has there been any difference because of the huge age difference? Has there been any mishaps with him not getting any of your Reagan
like
references or anything like that?
I feel like his teen mom. It's disgusting. I'm 51 and he's 33. I feel bad
for
him.
You go, girl.
It's disgusting. You know what's funny? That is what I hear everywhere I go. When if I do talk about him in my shows, I mean, it is a resounding applause break that blows my mind. But I do. I feel kind of bad for him. I feel guilty. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to serve some time in some way. I'm going to be on some sort of a Britney 5150 at some point.
Okay.
This shave your head.
It's not going to end well.
Will you
let's
call
be
us from jail if you have one call? Will you make it us?
You're my one call. Okay.
Could it be the audience is applauding because you found a man? Could that be the reason?
Well, the straights that were dragged to my shows can't even believe it.
Right, sure.
The gays are super excited. Yeah. And the women really feel like you go, girl. And
yeah,
they're proud
it's about
of me.
Time, right?
And I'm not, you know, I've stopped apologizing for my bang a bikini bun.
You have to.
Good.
At some point, you just have to accept.
I have to say, sorry, no more.
Right.
Okay,
right.
It is what it is.
I'm a 10 deal.
It's not your fault. It's just how God made you.
Thank you.
Kathy Griffin is
and
here. The show is called Kathy. There's no exclamation point, and that surprised me with the title.
Well, it's
show,
not a musical yet.
Yeah. Okay, yeah,
when Ralph shows up and starts doing his one-man show musical
jazz
number,
hands.
Jazz hands, then it might be Kathy and Ralph exclamation point. But just for now, it's just Kathy.
Special guests Whitney Cummings and Chelsea Handler. It's tonight at 10 on the Bravo channel. More with Kathy after this on the Kevin. I think it's going to be it. Does that right, Kathy?
That's me.
Not yet.
I know what's on your mind, but if you're inclined not to say it,
sing your own theme song on your TV show on Bravo.
I know what's in your head, but if you turn red when you say it, don't you worry, because
how did that happen? Bravo has a budget to get you a professional. What happened there?
You know what?
It's like the Bangles.
I lost my mind, and I said, I want to do something unusual, which is my show is so vile, and I say so many heinous things about people that I think I should have a really, really sweet opening theme song.
Like too sweet.
Too sweet.
Like a bubblegum
like,
pop
really,
song.
It's the guy, a guy named Adam Schlesinger wrote it. He wrote That Thing You Do and Stacey's
Mom. He's Fountains of Wayne guy.
Yeah.
Fountains of Wayne guy, exactly. So I said, I'm going to go on the show in a pretty dress and say a lot of people are horrible things, so write a very sweet song.
You look like Zooey Deschanel in this video.
Yes,
really
I look like Zooey Deschanel, and I'm like petting my dogs, and I'm all about presenting a false version of myself.
I like that.
Thank you.
I like that.
Let me tell you what comes up, by the way, if you do a YouTube search on Kathy Griffin. Here's what you get. Kathy Griffin, Tired Hooker, Part 1. Kathy Griffin, Horrors on Crutches, 1 of 4.
Wow.
Kathy Griffin, Pants Off, Part 1. Kathy Griffin, Physically Scared of Charlie Sheen, Part 1.
That is me presenting myself as who I truly am.
That's true.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
I am a horror on crutches. I will take my pants off. And I have been a tired hooker at times. And don't act like you haven't, Bean. I like how Bean sits there on his high horse.
Bean is a tireless hooker,
like
trust me.
Like he's never had sex for money, please.
No, yeah, but he's tireless. He, for some reason, he never gets tired of it. He just keeps going and going
Night. Don't you guys want to grill Ralph on what it's going to be like for him to be a guest on my show?
Afterwards. But he doesn't know anything yet, I don't think.
But you're not
I have yet to do
this?
The show. We're impressed by Ralph every day. This is not just.
I don't tell them what's going on in my life, Kathy.
They don't
know what's
you
going on.
You are like a Lifetime movie where you have like a secret family in Montana.
He does.
They live in a shadow of fear.
I'm Dawn, Portrait of a Teenage Alcoholic.
Oh my God, did you love that?
I felt like she
reached out for help and nobody would really help her.
No.
She's
just to be on your
that.
Show, it sounds like.
You got to be loving
hey, Kathy,
the client
list. No, we don't love the client list.
I'll tell
you
why. Who doesn't like you know what jobs?
I'll tell you why. There's not enough of that, and it's just her being a psychologist.
Too much talking, not enough.
She's just like,
job.
Tell me about your problems.
No, it's a lot of talk.
Oh my God.
Tell me about your problems, sir. Oh, you know what you should do? You should give her roses.
Well, you know,
maybe shut up.
Maybe next time you're getting a you-know-what job, you should listen to your hooker, and then you'll learn something about yourself.
I'm listening too goddamn much at home. That's why I need to go outside for the you-know-what job.
Oh, you're all disgusting pigs.
That's true. That's the first
thing
you've
said. I hope the Lakers don't even win the playoffs.
They're
I mean
kidding.
It.
It's too late for that, for God's sake.
Kathy Griffin is here. Her new show is apparently on episode 10 already. We're embarrassed to have just found out. That
it's
is going to be tonight.
Episode 8, you well-informed research and development
episode
losers.
Eight.
That is going to be tonight at 10 on Bravo. Hey, Kathy, I wanted to ask you about this.
Yes.
On a serious note here.
Okay.
Because you're, you know, you've been fighting for the gays for a long time.
Yes,
I have. When the minister in North Carolina came out last month talking about rounding up the queers and the lesbians and putting them in an electrified fence and dropping them food until they all died out, what were your thoughts?
I said, that's called my house. I don't have the electric fence, but let me tell you, you can drop as many gays in my house as you want. Yeah. I will feed them. I have done it many times, by the way. My house is basically like a halfway house for wayward gays. And so, no, I mean, look, that's one of those situations that we can laugh about. Luckily, the news has picked it up as the real item that it is.
Right.
So I get lots of tweets, et cetera, saying, talk about
this. But wasn't it shocking? Wasn't it so shocking that that existed in 2012?
Yeah, it's shocking that it exists in 2012. It's shocking that it exists in this country. And, you know, as someone who travels the country and I played in, you know, Elizabeth, Indiana 2 weeks ago, and I played Carnegie Hall. We have to remember that these are sentiments that are still felt everywhere, and
the whole world
isn't West Hollywood. And so, in a way, it's kind of good to have the light shined on that issue, but it is awful, and I get lots of correspondence from young people, obviously, that truly are on the brink of suicide, and the bullying thing is real. So, while it's a horrible, horrible story, in a way, I'm glad that every news outlet is talking about it, and that is the important thing, is keep talking about it, because you can't act like this stuff doesn't exist. You can't act like racism doesn't exist. You can't act like homophobia doesn't exist. It does exist, and I'm a big believer in something as simple as dialogue. I really am. And I do the marching, and I, you know, go to all the GLAAD events and all that other stuff, but I'm just a big believer in just plain old dialogue. And I love when somebody comes to one of my live shows and says, like, oh, you know, I was sitting next to a gay person. And I've actually had people say, I've never met a gay person before until I came to your show.
Really?
And they're fabulous. And they are fabulous. But, you know, and I'm just kind of will sort of smile and say, like, well, I'm really glad you had a good experience.
But isn't it great nationally we can point fingers at douchebags like that and laugh at them and mock them and sort of get the message?
And you know what?
That
you do have to
okay
laugh.
Behavior.
You do have to laugh. And that's where I come in, because obviously
cartoonish.
The real news shows are covering it in the way that they should. And luckily, I can go on stage. And honestly, I can just quote the Westboro Baptist Church and people laugh their butts off.
Yeah.
I mean, the good news is, as heinous as it is, I'm not making light of it. But you really do kind of have to laugh to get through it while you're also doing your activism and getting the dialogue going.
I also love that a guy like Jay-Z will stand up, and it's very significant that he's
extremely
an African-American, and he'll stand up and he'll say, hey, homophobia is exactly the same as racism. And that
I
is
love
the, that
he said
the,
it. And
the
by the
mantra.
Way, when I've said that, I've actually gotten correspondence from people in the African-American community saying, how dare you make that comparison?
I've heard that
But
too.
You know what? I've actually canvassed door-to-door, and I've had conversations with members of the African-American community who feel, some feel it's very much a civil rights issue, as I do, and some feel there's no connection. And I will say that the common denominator is usually religion or someone who is extremely religious. So look, that is a process that we're still going through as the LGBTQIA community, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, gay, questioning, intersex, and ally.
Okay.
And I'm the A in ally. But I like when people say stuff that's real. And let's face it, there are different communities that have a tougher time with the LGBT community. And the more you talk about it, the better. So that was very, very significant when Jay-Z said that, as well as a sitting president saying he was pro-legalization of gay marriage.
You think that'll hurt him?
I don't think so. I think that people really ultimately care about the economy. I think that the liberals, and I'm, you know, you guys know I'm like super, 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 super lefty, and I feel like we're going to vote for him anyway.
The people who would hate him for that already hate him because he's
they
black,
already hate
so
him
it's
any,
fine.
I mean,
he's
really,
already,
I think there's a
there.
Real racism issue with this president, truly, and so I'll say it. I've said it on Bill Maher's show. I'll get angry tweets about it. I don't care. And so I think it's great that he said that. And by the way, there are many members of the LGBT community that still feel he didn't go far enough. And they're still saying, well, if he leaves it to the states, then it won't get passed. But it's still a giant step forward. And these things do take time. Like I said, I play little towns where people think there isn't even a gay person. So it's going to take more time than we want it to. But this is huge, huge progress.
That's weird because living in this community and at this radio station and working in this environment, it's hard.
You can't imagine someone saying,
I've
never met a gay person.
Right.
And to which I usually say,
have
you been to church?
You have.
And then we laugh. We laugh. You know that married guy at church that has a certain flair about him? Well, he just might be what's called on the
download. I had sex with a guy last week who was not gay.
Doesn't make you gay.
I still haven't met a gay person.
Kathy Griffin is here. The show airs Thursday nights at 10 on Bravo. Great episode tonight with Chelsea Handler and Whitney Cummings.
Better episode next week.
That's all I got to tell you.
Ralph Garman.
Ralph
Garman.
That's right. And just so you know, tonight with Chelsea Whitney, we actually do throw on a civilian, and he's a straight guy. Mm-hmm. And to watch his eyes turn into pinwheels between Chelsea and Whitney is worth the price of the popcorn. Sure.
Well, poor bastard. In a room with an awful lot of menstrual cycling together, I'll tell you that.
We're all bleeding. Dr. Drew
joins us next, Kathy. Please stick around because we're going to be talking about Teen Mom's Amber going back to prison.
I love Dr. Drew.
There you go.
And Emma.
We'll be right back on the Kevin and Bean Show. The Bravo Television Network's own Kathy Griffin in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Jake Johnson from The New Girl joins us coming up after the top of the hour. Right now, though, Dr. Drew Pinsky, welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you?
Thank you, Bean.
Drew. It's Kathy.
Hi, Kathy. How are you?
Good, good. Always good to talk to you.
Listen, I got to tell you something.
What?
Did you see the little thing that Anderson Cooper and I did on my HLN program?
Yes, I did. I put it on my Twitter, my Facebook. I was so thrilled and flattered. I just loved it.
Well, there was a part of it they wouldn't let us air.
What?
And I'm dying to share it with you now because, of course, it's something we can talk about on the radio.
Well, of course. What
but
happened?
But I literally fell out of my seat when he talked about how you were sexting pictures of yourself on his couch.
Oh, yeah. I sent him naked photos of myself because he let me go to his house a day early, his vacation house. So I put on his underwear. I got in his bed, and while he was doing a very serious story on AC360, I kept sexting him naked pictures of myself
and
all around his house.
Yes, and he's that part they kind of let through, but then he wanted to tell me how he had to sponge his couch down and that, quote, the carpeting matched the drapes, in case anybody was wondering.
Oh, yeah, there's nothing he hasn't seen.
And I couldn't believe they wouldn't let me hear that.
I know,
so
it's
mad.
Innocent love. It's like the Blue Lagoon. It's just two innocent kids romping around naked.
Do you just love making him as uncomfortable as possible? Is that the relationship you have with Anderson Cooper?
And I've actually become good friends with his mom, Gloria Vanderbilt, and that kills him because when I go to her apartment, I just try to expose as much as possible about Anderson or anything, or I'll just make stuff up too.
Good.
But yeah, it's his nightmare that I'm actually friends with his mom, and I love making him uncomfortable. He's actually going to be on the Kathy show. I am not telling him what I have in mind for him.
Good.
Because I don't think I should.
Good.
I am dying just to be on the stage with you guys on New Year's Eve just to witness that go down.
That's a cold riser. and yet he still sweats.
Hey, listen, Dr. Drew, you told Dave that you have been following with great interest on your HLN show this latest cannibal story, which is the Canadian porn star. It turns out that Kathy Griffin also obsessed with this story and with this guy's ex-girlfriend. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, now, first of all, let me just frame that a little differently. What I said was, surely Bean is obsessed with this story, so
That's
I'll be
correct.
Happy to talk about it.
All right. No, we all love it.
I'm joining
it's unbelievable.
I'm getting my bath salts now.
Yeah. All right, well, this guy, a porn star, just a bizarre character that has been sick for years and years. He was, you know, an escort, so to speak. Of course, only hot women visited him, I'm sure.
Of course.
Yeah. I talked to a transgender male-to-female woman who was his girlfriend 10 years ago, and she said even then he was fame-obsessed, bizarre, willing to do anything. And now we have this video of him coolly walking into a room with his boyfriend strapped to a bed, cutting his throat and then dismembering him and then having sex with the body parts.
Oh.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah, it's awesome. And this woman, talking with her, she said, well, look, you know, I knew him and he definitely was completely intoxicated judging by how he looked on this thing.
But do you buy that, Drew? Are you really that intoxicated?
No, I mean, that's part of the deal here, but it's an interesting theory. Her theory was that he's a psychopath, make no mistake about it, but that he actually had to get himself even more loaded to carry this thing out so he could post it on the internet so he could get famous.
Wow.
The thing had 300,000 views in the first hour.
Oh,
yeah, and apparently the people that watched it are, like, never the same.
Do they take it down, something like that? Like, does YouTube take something like that down?
Sure. Did take it down, but apparently it required first literally hundreds and maybe thousands of reports to police and and everyone kind of did nothing for a day or two, apparently.
Okay, so not to be all, once again, LGBT up in here, but do you think it had anything to do with his sexual orientation?
No.
Like, why wouldn't the police just go over there in 2 seconds?
Oh, being why the police ignored it?
Yes.
I don't think they have a mechanism to understand that they have a role to play, and B, what could they do?
Yeah.
They didn't know where the guy was. This thing had been posted somewhere, and they're getting reports that this random YouTube video was disgusting.
Did they catch him because somebody recognized him and said, I know where you can find him right now?
They caught him because there was an international manhunt for him, and his picture was sent everywhere. And a guy in a internet cafe, he came in with sunglasses and sort of looked at him under his glasses, and he went, God, I recognize that guy. The guy's got a very striking appearance.
Uh-huh.
He was trying to get plastic surgery to get himself to look like James Dean. very, very healthy.
Whoa, a whole other layer.
Wow.
Another layer.
This
is going to be an incredible TV movie one day.
And the guy literally observed him for like an hour or two and called in a cop off the street and said, I think I know this guy. And the cop recognized him too, and they just got him. And the guy literally said, coolly, you got me.
Wow.
That was it. They walked.
He wanted to be caught.
He wanted to be caught, yeah.
Well, I don't know about wanted to be caught, but expected to be caught. It wants to be famous again. That's the disgusting part about this, is that we have a real problem here. I don't want to blame it all on that. I mean, the guy's a psychopath and a drug addict. But the fact that it's motivated by fame-seeking adds just a bizarre twist to this whole thing.
Well, one of the things, Dr. Drew, you're always good at, and you and your friend Mike Catherwood do this all the time on Loveline, is you're able to diagnose someone within 15 seconds of hearing their story. What's this guy's childhood like? Where did he go wrong?
Well, a true psychopath actually has a brain problem, and it seems to be more of a genetic thing than anything else, where people... You know, they just, that part of their brain that allows other people to have an existence doesn't really function properly. But again, talking to that, that's going to air tonight, actually, my interview with the transsexual on HLN. Interviewing her, she said, oh, yeah, the guy had terrible, 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 like horrible abuse in childhood.
Wow. Was she abused by him as well?
She did. It's an excellent question. She was in love with him, but found him to be bizarre, and he started talking about mutilating animals, and that's where she kind of got
her. Red flag.
And yeah. Our videos of him petting and loving these little kittens and then suddenly suffocating him.
Drew, I'm going to go farther, because I have a question. What type of person seeks out that video to watch it?
That's these are great questions. That's the part I'm almost more disturbed than anything else. And we all sit in disdain of Roman classical period and go, oh, my God, they did gruesome things in that Colosseum. 50,000 people witnessed that?
That's what I'm saying. Is personally, and Lisa, you can speak to this, but honestly, if I was dating someone and if I even knew he watched it, that would make me fearful of him. And
absolutely.
It's just weird.
It's like people watching those beheading videos when those came out. The people that really flocked to that.
300,000 people watched this damn thing in the first few
hours.
Do
you think that people didn't believe it was real, though?
Well, there are sites dedicated to this garbage, and we got to think about that. I mean, there are people going out and watching that. I can't imagine that, particularly during sort of periods when the brain development is sort of plastic, that this doesn't have an effect on people. It just has to. Not just even inadvertently seeing it or seeking it out, it's all got to be bad.
Yeah.
Dr. Drew is on HLN again tonight at 9 o'clock with that interview and so much more. Kathy, you only have another minute to say goodbye to your boyfriend here.
Bye, my boyfriend, Dr. Drew. I adore you and you know it. And please watch The Kathy Show Thursdays at Bravo, because you might need to lighten up after your show tonight.
Done and done. And I got to say, Bean had a strange sense of being tantalized by this story. It kind of disturbed me a little bit.
It should. No. There's a lot of the story that just turns my stomach. But I am fascinated with what turns people into these kinds of monsters.
The psyche part is
it.
Interesting. Yeah.
It is interesting.
He won't seek out the video. No,
absolutely not. Just like last week when we were talking about the bath salts victim, none of us wanted to see those pictures of what that dude's face looked like.
I heard about
none
it, and that was enough for me. No.
You guys went and found it.
Didn't.
No.
Did not.
No.
Nope.
Did not.
Nope. Nope.
Not interested.
Didn't
You're
look,
the
promise.
Only sicko on this conversation, Dr. Drew. Thanks for joining us.
You guys, bye.
Went to the Stanley Cup playoffs last night, and they lost. And
don't tell Kathy Griffin about that. She's all black and silver.
No, I feel bad when they have those new sneakers, and then they go to the Stanley Cup playoffs, and then they fall down. I feel awful.
They play on ice.
It's not the same thing.
It's all the same soccer.
Here's beer mug after the game.
What happened with the Kings tonight?
$2,000 in the garbage. 27 years of love. And God, why you got to do me not even cool?
Thank you, sir.
Sir, I thank you. I'm getting the old school throwback 78 King's skull, King's crown tattooed on my hand.
What are you doing that?
When we win.
What? Who is that? Why are they there? Why are they them?
He was at the ESPN zone or whatever down at Staples Center.
And were the only two in the bar? Sounds like they were in the bathroom or something.
It could have been. I don't know.
It cleared out right after the game.
Could have been back at Beerbug's house afterwards. Hey, listen.
Before
Kathy
he ate
Griffin
him
here.
And had sex
Wait,
with the parts.
So someone gets to work here named Beer Mug, gets to get drunk on the show, and then you celebrate it.
Yeah.
Get Drew back, because I want to see him on Sober House or Celebrity Rehab.
No, your
Heidi
alcoholic
Fleiss.
Mom has given you a bad taste when it comes to alcohol, in my
That's
opinion.
That's true. Right. She has turned me in the wrong way.
She has.
I know.
We're going to get you
Ralph,
loaded.
Do you have any time for some showbiz here before Jake Johnson joins us?
No, I really don't.
A little. Give us a couple.
I have time for a plug. This Saturday night, Psycho Mike Catherwood and myself will be doing Hollywood Babylon up at the John Levitz Theater.
What's the point of this story?
Universal City Walk every Saturday at 10 p.m. I do my podcast up there. Psycho Mike is my guest host this week. So
has Kathy ever been a guest host?
She hasn't.
She filled in?
No, I completely forgot. I'm actually here to freaking plug my... I
You're
forgot
plug
June 23rd, two shows at the Long Beach Terrace Theater, and I'm taping them for my next special. Go to KathyGriffin.net. Long Beach Terrace Theater. Wait, when is it? Saturday, June 23rd.
That's
oh my
worst
gosh.
Plug ever.
I forgot because you guys are all in with that Long Beach posse.
Yeah, we have a lot of listeners down in Long Beach.
Come see me in Long Beach, June 23rd. Two shows, Bravo taping.
I was in the middle talking about my show.
I
come
know,
to see me
I
this
apologize.
Saturday night.
At You're the, fantastic,
at the,
Ralph.
At the City Walk.
I'll be there.
You should come co-host some with me some week.
Oh, what a treat for me.
After Carnegie Hall, Kathy, and she's too good to play the Lovitz, yeah, I get is, the sense. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to be on
give
my
away
knees
her
with
skills
beer mug,
for free.
Okay?
Really? Wow. That's rough.
Yeah. Congratulations to Miley Cyrus. She's engaged. She continues to make excellent life choices. At the age of 19, she is now engaged to Hunger Games star Liam Hemsworth. Her, I can understand doing this. Him, he's a good-looking, strapping movie star. I can't understand why he's doing this. But he's 22. She's 19. I'm so happy to be engaged and look forward to a life of happiness with Liam, Miley told People magazine, which would all be true if she dies at 20. She will have had a life of happiness
maybe.
With Liam, maybe. She got a 3.5 carat ring from Neil Lane. It's
she
a big
should
ring.
Marry him, then.
3.5 carats.
I mean, frankly, if Neil Lane gave
no,
her a ring.
He was the jeweler. He was the jeweler who
I'm
made
just saying
the ring.
She's not thinking clearly with that side boob and her dream catcher tattoo.
John, how does she have saggy boobs with those A's?
She's running.
How
she's
does that
running
happen?
Barefoot to Starbucks like Britney, and they bounce.
Okay. John Travolta has more problems. Yesterday, Joan Edwards, his former secretary, came out and said she always knew that John was gay, and it was no big deal. In fact, she said she made his arrangements for his relationship that he had with a pilot named Doug Goterba, a 6-year-long affair, she claims, he had with his personal pilot back in the 1980s.
We were talking about this earlier today.
I'm thinking she's going to get an angry call from Scientology Celebrity Center.
I would think so, too, yeah.
She's
going to
disappear. She's going to be chained to a freighter in Long Beach.
She's going to Saturn very soon.
Xenu's going to come down.
Yep.
Take her away.
Oh, I'm in a fight with Xenu.
No, you're in a fight with
Xenu? I can't
get
along with him. I feel
really?
Like he's like, I'm all powerful. And I'm like, you know, you're just a Xenu. Relax.
He does have a bad attitude. Celebrity birthday. Singer Tom Jones is 72 years old today. Actor Liam Neeson is 60. That's two guys there who have legendarily large penises, both
yes.
of those guys.
True. I've heard that.
You know, Tom Jones took Cassandra Peterson's virginity, you
good
know,
for
no
him
kidding,
and her.
Elvira,
really? Princess
Fella
of the Dark,
Groundling, yes,
yeah. The first man she ever had sex with was Tom Jones.
Good
no
for her.
Kidding,
she was probably a backup dancer, right?
She was a dancer yeah. in Vegas, exactly.
Yep,
and she had to go to the emergency room afterwards.
What,
he was that big?
Yes,
wow,
she was there some ripping and some tearing?
Yes, there was,
wow.
And she had to go to the emergency
God
room.
God, girls, KY and Astroglide, trust me.
Prince is 54 years old today.
How?
How?
I'm just saying. He's very youthful looking.
Dave Navarro turns 45.
What?
Anna Kournikova is 31 years old today.
I'm sure you guys love her.
Yeah, we do.
All Excellent. Right. Yeah. So predictable.
We're allowed.
Bill Hader. Why? Because she's beautiful?
No, it's just really, you're so consistently ridiculous.
Right.
That
we like
really
beautiful
is.
Women? Is that
oh,
our weirdness?
I love Anna Kournikova. That's so original.
We're
really, you should all
be original.
On The Bachelor. Really,
no,
line
right.
up for The Bachelor.
No. Susan Boyle, that's our dream.
Oh
that's
God,
who we want to be
eat
with.
Your faces. I want to take bath salts and eat your faces.
But Kathy, why is that different than every girl getting excited when it's Dave Navarro's birthday today? Because he's such a good-looking dude. I mean, you're attracted to attractive people.
Granted, but he's also scary. And there's nothing scary about Anna Kournikova. She's just going to deliver the way she delivers, and she's going to moan and probably has fake boobs. Dave might kill you.
That's true. There is a hint of danger.
There's a hint
true.
Of
Put
danger.
It that way.
That's true.
Although I heard Anna Kournikova, the KGB, has her vagina tapped.
Wouldn't you like to? Don't act like you're not jealous of the KGB.
They're
all
picking
of a
up secrets.
Where do you sign? Get me to the Kremlin.
Actor Michael Cera celebrates his 24th birthday today.
How's that possible?
Because he was born 24 years ago.
You know what?
Ago.
I question authority, and you don't like it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you question Chelsea Handler? We said she was 35.
Okay.
You've
you
seen
know
her
what?
Up close.
I've got a show to promote.
That's the funniest
Kathy,
thing
tonight,
she's ever said. Funniest thing Chelsea Handler's ever said that she was 35.
Bravo. I'll be at the Long Beach Terrace Theater July. Let's 23rd, go with 23rd.
I believe it was June.
June 23rd. June 23rd, Long
the worst
Beach Terrace
plugger
Theater.
Ever.
Oh, gosh.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show with
oh,
me.
Thank great. You, Kathy. Go home now and get some rest.
Jake Johnson in studio. He is Nick on New Girl on Fox, and of course has a new movie out coming out tomorrow called Safety Not Guaranteed that we want to talk about. Hey, did Kathy Griffin hit on you on her way out? She's trolling for younger men right now.
No, she walked right by me. I don't think
it was the beard. Yeah, it was the beard through her.
I'm not her vibe.
Well, too masculine.
I don't know that you're anyone's vibe right this second with that beard.
How dare you, sir? He's a guest.
Let's be honest.
Hey, thank you.
Can we start
thank
by you. Being honest? Okay.
Right. You are looking awfully hairy today, and
jeez, well, thanks for having me, guys.
Good to talk to you.
I just saw that you on your Twitter. I just saw that you just did the Rich Eisen podcast. You just talked football with him. Is that what you?
Yeah, we talked football yesterday. It was a lot of fun. It was really nice to be able to talk just Bears and not have the other person's eyes go dead.
Yeah.
After 10 minutes of me talking about what I'm excited about the team
this season, though. Yeah, that's how it always starts.
Yeah. There's always the moment when I'm talking sports where the other person goes like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, shut up."
Yeah.
This is equivalent to like Dungeons and Dragons, but with sports, man.
Yeah. But only if you find another Bears fan, then you're good.
Yeah, we can nerd out on it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I find. I'm an Eagles guy from Philadelphia, and you can only really get in depth if you're in a bar and they're hanging
Absolutely.
Your colors, and you can do that for hours.
And then you get that moment where you get to go, "Oh, they actually know what they're talking about."
Yeah, right.
Because there's a lot of Bear fans. Then you go, you start saying something, and they go, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." And then they go, "Walter Payton was the best, huh?" Just shut up. Stop.
Ditka. How about Ditka,
hey,
huh?
Ditka mustaches, Polish sausage. And I'm like, "Yeah, we got a pretty good team now, too, pal." And they'll go, "Super fans. That was so funny." And I'm like, "Really fun to talk to you about Bears.
See you later."
Yeah. Scram, you creep. We're all done here.
Jake is here because although New Girl is in reruns right now, he has a film coming out that I mentioned called Safety Not Guaranteed. Now, if we have this down correctly, it is going to be opening tomorrow at the AMC Century City and the AMC Burbank 16. So it's one of these films that's starting off small and then getting big, right? That's the deal?
Yeah, that's the hope is that it gets big. We're starting here and in New York and Seattle and Portland, and we're going to kind of see if this thing has wings to it.
Boy, is this worth finding. This movie is definitely worth seeking out and going to see.
Did you see it this week, Ralph?
Yeah, I saw it this week, and I loved this film. One of my favorite films of the year, really.
Too. Oh. I did too.
Charming beyond expectations.
And tell folks what it's about, too, Jake.
So here's the premise of this movie. You know, a couple years ago, Jay Leno, who does those headline things, had a headline about a classified ad that was real, and a guy said he's going back in time. He's done this once before. He's looking for a partner. Your safety's not guaranteed. Bring your own weapons. It's a really funny thing, and the writer, this guy Derek Conley, you know, and our director Colin Trevorrow both really laughed and thought that was funny, and they said, "What if we created a fictional movie based off the writer of that classified ad?" And so I play a journalist up in Seattle, and my character gets assigned this story to kind of do like a tongue-in-cheek thing on who this guy is.
That happened in real life too, right?
Yeah, they did stories on
they send out a reporter.
They send it out. They figured out who this guy was. And Aubrey Plaza plays my intern who comes with me to kind of, you know, do the story on this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we go back, and then the whole question becomes, is it real? Is it not? Can he time travel? And Mark Duplass from The League plays the guy. And it's a lot of fun.
What did you love about it so much, Ralph?
It's one of those films that is so unusual because it really concentrates and focuses on the characters. And there are quirky moments in it that play like real life as opposed to quirky moments in film sometimes when people put stuff in there just to make it seem like it's an indie sort of hipster kind of film. It's about real people and real relationships. And your character, Jeff, spends a lot of time in the film trying to recapture a moment in his life to go back to when he was a young kid and reestablish a relationship with this girl he knew back then. And I related it because so many of my friends we've all had those moments. There's that one girl in your past
Absolutely.
That sort of looms large and becomes this mythical character. And if you could hunt her down, and some people do, the results have varying degrees of success.
Yeah,
and
uneven.
It was great exploring that, I think, for guys of a certain age to think back. And then also you've got Arno, your intern there, who you sort of become his mentor and try to teach him at 21 what he should be doing and what he will be missing.
It's
a lot more than just about this guy and this quirky guy who wants to time travel. That's a big part of it. But there's a lot of great all the characters got well served, I think, in this
film. Yeah, and, you know, and to credit to the writing on that, they tried to tell two different stories at the same time, and they tried to give every character their whole arc. Which doesn't happen a lot. Mostly you'll have the story and everyone's serving that.
Right.
My character is doing his, you know, emotional time travel because, you know, he had his first sexual experience with this woman in this small town who lives near the guy who wrote the classified. And Jeff, who's somewhat of a D-bag, is still chasing down that feeling because it just hasn't worked out. And so she's kind of his Winnie Cooper.
Yep. Yeah, there you
and,
go.
And everything is her until he sees her. And guess what? 20 years is a long time. It does wonders on a body.
The years have not been kind to her. In fact, they kind of took an S all over her face.
Now, here's the hardest part
about that.
Here is the hardest part about that. And this is just me being totally honest. The script, my character was supposed to be very overweight, very unattractive. My character sees her in a salon, and he's like, oh, give me a break. So I was expecting a very unattractive, you know, woman to play the part.
Right.
The woman, Janae, the actress, is
beautiful.
Pretty cute. Yeah.
Nothing wrong with her at all.
No, she's an attractive lady.
Absolutely.
So what was funny is we shot her stuff before she shot, you know, all that stuff, took an S on her face. you know, me saying things sincerely like, they're like, how was your day? And I go, you know, she's not that fat.
Yeah, right.
And then I had to work with this woman who is attractive.
Yeah.
And then at the screening, we were at Sundance. She's right behind me. I had never felt like a bigger troll.
No.
I was like, I had to be like, thumbs up, great work.
But it does make Jeff seem like even more of a D-bag because he is comparing her to the 18-year-old version of
Absolutely.
Her, which was this stunning little blonde girl, you know?
Yes,
so
no one could
live up to that.
I had to defend your character watching this film with my wife, by the way, because she's like, why is he saying that? I'm like, look, it's not his fault. It's just he remembers her as 18, and no matter how attractive she is, she's not 18. What do you mean by that?
Nothing. No man is like Jeff. It's just him. I would not say like
movie. It's science fiction, honey.
tell me if this is fair, you guys. I honestly, this had a Garden State vibe to me, this film. That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah, there's some of that in there. There's some Little Miss Sunshine road trip kind of quality to it. There's a lot of quirky independent films who share, I think, a lineage with this film. But this thing stands alone, I think, because it's so out there. I mean, time travel as a reality is a pretty wacky concept to tackle.
How dare you?
Yeah, I know, believe. You believe.
I believe.
Yeah, you're probably the guy who wrote the actual ad.
Let me play a clip from the movie. Our guest is Jake Johnson here again.
No!
Well, let me play. I got time to play a clip.
Come on.
All right, play a clip.
Safety Not Guaranteed is the name of the movie, and you mentioned you're writing a story for Seattle Magazine, and you have taken this road trip with two of your interns, and here you are in the hotel discussing this guy who placed the ad.
So anyway, can we please just focus on the article and figure out what's wrong with this guy, like low IQ or emotional disorder or whatever?
What makes you think there's something wrong with him?
Because he thinks he can go back in time.
Was there something wrong with Einstein or David Bowie?
Not the same.
Just because the guy is trying to do something new doesn't mean he's a freak show.
So you think this is normal?
I don't know. Is it normal that your interns do all your work for you? Is that normal?
Right.
Is that how all your articles get written?
I love that Aubrey Plaza so much.
So fire her skinny little ass. Guess what? You're abandoned now in Ocean View. Congratulations.
Now we take a break. More with our guests after this on the Kevin and Bean. Jake Johnson in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show from New Girl on Fox and Safety Not Guaranteed, which is a new film that opens up in a couple of theaters tomorrow. And then if you go see it, hopefully it'll open in a couple more after that.
What are the theaters that it opens in specifically?
Luckily, it's Century City and Burbank AMCs, I think.
Okay. That's correct.
Yeah.
That is correct.
I'm so glad you guys didn't. There was a moment there I thought I was about to fail the test.
No.
You
go, where are they?
I wasn't asking you. I noticed that. I was like, no.
Jake's doing screening in his garage as well. You can stop by his house. And
yeah, just roll by my pad. I got a 6-year-old. I'll throw it on. Yeah.
We know pampered Hollywood types never have any of the actual information. So
that's
bring it upon ourselves.
I've been
too
busy in a hot tub all morning getting a back massage.
Let's talk about the guy who places the ad that is the premise of this film, The Safety Not Guaranteed, based on a real ad that was placed from somebody who was looking for people to go back through time with him. That must have been a fine line to walk in writing and the way this movie is played, because you kind of want to root for this guy, yet he's also a little bit crazy. Your guy plays it so well.
Yeah, I think Colin met the actual guy.
Oh, did really?
Yeah.
What was his story then? I don't know much about the actual guy.
I don't know very much, and if the guy hears this and he's mad at me, I apologize. But from what I know, Colin said, you know, he is somewhat like this guy. He's kind of what you would want him to be.
Really?
He lives in a very remote area. He brought a gun to the meeting.
Mm-hmm. Like, are there people following him?
He's very paranoid. You know, is he paranoid or is he right?
Yeah.
Who knows? Who knows?
Who's to say?
Who's to say if someone's following somebody if you can't see every corner? And Colin just said he was. They, like, sat in this diner and had a talk, and Colin said it was everything he wanted it to be.
Oh, that's great.
Wow. And then, yeah, he bought the rights from him right there. I think Colin, like, wrote him a personal check.
Did he believe he could time travel?
I think the guy has a sense of humor about it, and he gets what's funny, but I also think deep down he thinks he can.
Really?
From what I understand...
So he must be relatively smart.
Yeah, he's a genius.
Yeah.
And he's right.
And crazy and genius go hand in hand.
Yes.
Often.
So yes. I think he's actually in the movie. There's a scene at the post office early on when Arnaud and Darius are looking at the post office trying to find the guy.
They're staking it out looking for
the
guy.
The first
right?
older guy.
The guy with the beard?
That's actually him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we gave him a cameo and he was on set and he had a really fun attitude and he's really into the movie.
And they say in the film, oh, that's got to be him. Look, white whiskers and everything. That's a time travel type right there.
Exactly.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, that was his shout out.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Did the guy who placed the ad in real life, did he actually build something in his garage that he thought was going to work?
I mean, I don't know, and two, I'm sure if he did, he would have never told any of us.
Right. Yeah,
I'm sure he's got
so.
Like secret areas.
This is so Bean, sure. Living on a remote island, building like, time travel devices.
That's
so
yeah.
Bean.
He's asking me about him to see how much I know about him.
Yes, that's correct.
Like, and do you guys know for sure he's in Seattle? I'm like, dude, I know it's you.
I want to make sure my cover is holding up. That's
this
all.
Is a radio intervention.
You know, Jeff's character, well, Jeff and Nick both, as I was watching the film this week, I said, you are starting to corner the market on sort of damaged romantics, because there is sort of a commonality between those two characters. Guys who on the outside are sort of drinking and bluffing their way through this false bravado, but deep down inside they're desperately romantic and desperately want to connect up. And I found Jeff in this movie is just, he seems like a cool guy, the kind of guy you want to hang out with, because he's a cool reporter at a cool magazine, and he's got sort of this very laissez-faire attitude about life. But when you get down to it, he is desperate for some sort of real connection to really meet up with someone.
I 100% agree with that. It's what I really liked about Jeff and why I really wanted to play the character, because he's two different things. He's driving an Escalade, and he's cool, and he's not afraid to hit on girls, and then you really get to break this guy down. And one of the other fun things about Jeff, for me, is that I feel like in movies a lot of times people really grow and they really mature. And you really see like, what a piece of S. And then you're like, in the end, you're like, he really grew. There's something nice about Jeff. He's not going to grow.
No.
He
sticks his head up for a minute and then reverts right back down.
It's like he's the mole. He pops his head on the ground. Something hits him in the head and he goes, it's just better underground.
Yeah, safer down here.
It's nice down here with the dirt and the worms. And I really like that about him. I love those friends I grew up with who, you know, you see on Facebook people change and you're like, good for you. You're like, you used to party so hard at 14 and now look at you with two kids. And
right.
Every once in a while you'll see one guy where you're like, look at that ponytail. Look at you getting heavy in Chicago. Look at you loving partying.
Good guy.
Look at you all red-faced. Yes, OB, I love you. And those kind of guys, I'm like, just good. Keep it going. The Olympic torch is going, and you're the guy holding
people
it.
People who know themselves well enough to continue to be that.
Yeah, and just those are my favorite parts. So I wanted Jeff to have a little bit of, you know, just keep going, man.
Yeah. Well, as he was swilling Jack from the bottle driving a go-kart, I said, this is my guy.
Smoking, drinking.
This is the guy I want to be hanging out
Colin,
with.
Colin, our director, in that sequence, he goes, on that whole sequence was an eighth of a page. And on the schedule, you know, you have, like, everything's written out. The beginning of the morning would be, like, you know, Aubrey and Duplass doing this. And the second half is he goes, it just wrote, Jake Johnson getting effing weird.
That's all he wrote.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so we went, there was a whole go-kart, and he goes, so here's what we've got. We've got this stuff over here, the rides, and there was a go-kart that was rigged with a camera. And he goes, just do whatever you want, man. And I was like, I will never have this great of a director this great of it. And so I just drove around. The whole crew went inside. And we're doing something else. He just left me
alone.
Your
one-man film crew.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was one of those great life moments where I'm on a go-kart, smoking, drinking, being like, and every time I'd go around, you know, a PA would pop his head out, and I'd just do, like, one more. This is my moment, Jack.
Back off.
Well, the movie is so fun, and we had a K-Rock screening last week. Ralph gave away a bunch of tickets to our listeners who got to go see it. But it is opening up tomorrow, and you can see it at the AMC Century City in the AMC Burbank 16. Again, the film is called Safety Not Guaranteed, and we couldn't recommend this thing more. We're so happy for you, man, because it really came out great. So congratulations.
Thank you guys so much.
And continued success with New Girl, too. You know what big fans of that we are. I hope we get a chance to talk to you again soon.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks for having me, guys. Thank you.
We've got time for one more look at the Showbiz Beat. Ralph Garman joins us now on the Kevin and Bean Show.
It is on.
What's on?
Daniel Tosh versus Rob Dyrdek.
Nice.
They are battling, so I think physically, over a joke Tosh made on his show where he took a swipe at Dyrdek, who, of course, hosts a similar type show over on MTV. Hello? Anybody listening?
Yeah, we're here. Okay. We're with you. We have Dyrdek on Tuesday, too, so we can ask.
Good, we can talk about it.
Yeah.
He did a sketch called The Childish Dream Factory for Young Boys Only. It was filled with shirtless 12-year-olds on razor scooters. And Tosh, dressed as Dyrdek, comes onto the kids, plies them with wine and drugs.
It's Jesus juice, excuse me.
And insinuates that he's going to be having his way with these underage gentlemen.
I'm sure he didn't like.
Dyrdek did not care for it.
No.
Well, I'm not sure exactly how he felt, but I do know that he wants to fight Daniel Tosh. He's announced.
You mean really fight?
Yes.
That'll settle it.
He would like to settle things the old-fashioned way, as Dyrdek says.
That's how men do, Lisa.
Yep.
Daniel Tosh tweeted back, "Fair enough, but if you have to beat me up, can we film it and put it on my show so people will actually watch it?"
Ooh, snap.
See, because he's saying ridiculousness is not as doing as well as Tosh .0. So the beef is very real.
I like both of those guys very much, and I hope they work it out.
I hope Dyrdek kicks his ass.
All right.
That'd be awesome. Miley Cyrus is getting married.
Finally.
Yeah, she was an old spinster for so long, but now at the age of 19, she's finally landed a man. Liam Hemsworth is his name. You know him as the star of Hunger Games, brother of Thor. He's 22. She's 19. Miley tells People magazine, "I'm so happy to be engaged and look forward to a life of happiness with Liam." Yeah, you do.
Can't he do better than that?
Yes.
All right.
Kelsey Grammer, he just renewed his vows with his wife, Katie, over the weekend.
Wait,
can you renew your vows after you've been married for 8 minutes, really?
I was just saying, it hadn't been that long. This is his latest wife, right?
Yeah, the most recent one.
It's at the end of the reception. You just do it again.
Friends and family are a little worried about Kelsey, saying he's been acting strangely lately. Like renewing your vows with a brand new wife, getting her name tattooed on his hip. But he says he's just over the moon with excitement and happiness. That's why he's acting so crazy. He loves the fact that his wife had the courage to marry me twice, he said. And he can't wait to welcome their twins that he's having next month. Twin babies next month.
What could go wrong there?
Well, he's certainly young enough to have twins. He'll handle that. Turns out the president did not show up here in Los Angeles to fire the cop who arrested Amanda Bynes for DUI.
Wait, I thought she tweeted.
She did. "Hey, Barack Obama, I don't drink. Please fire the cop who arrested me. I also don't hit and run." The end was her tweet. And then next thing you know, President Obama's on a plane to California. So we all assumed he was here to fire the cop. It turns out that he was not. It was a fundraising trip. But someone did a little research on her recent driving record. And it turns out she was pulled over in West Hollywood at 3 in the morning after allegedly sideswiping a car and failing a breathalyzer test, although she says she doesn't drink. Then she was pulled over in March for talking on her phone while driving, and then drove off while the cop was in process of writing her the ticket.
Wow.
That is some balls.
No kidding.
She later had to show up at a police station to sign the ticket.
I'm done with this. He just drives off.
And she also grazed a pickup truck in her Range Rover last month and kept driving, saying she didn't know that she hit anyone.
Okay.
When the cops finally caught up to her after 6 police cars and a chopper had to hunt her down after the hit-and-run accident.
Wow.
So I'm just saying, if the president's going to step in and do anything.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Nadia Sulman won't be dancing at that strip club in West Palm Beach, Florida next
get
month.
Get on with it.
Nope.
Stop acting like you're anything else.
She is not going to strip. She was going to. Now she's changed her mind. You know why? Because one of the bartenders at the club mouthed off to the local news about the story that it was only a matter of time before she started stripping and that she must be a little crazy because normal people don't have that many children. Well, you do not speak like that about Octomom, and she has now canceled her appearance.
Haven't hundreds of millions of other people made the exact same observation
how
in the last year?
How dare you, sir.
Yes. Normal people don't have that many kids.
Yeah, but she wasn't supposed to take show off her cans, I guess, wherever those people were. So she gets to call the shots. Charlie Sheen was at the Kings game last night.
Did not see him there.
Kevin not only ruined the sweep, but he ticked off Charlie Sheen as well. Charlie went out to get a smoke, went out the main doors of the Staples Center to get a smoke.
There's signs. You can't get outside without bumping into a sign.
No re-entry.
Yes. Everywhere. Everywhere.
That's just for normal people.
That's not for Greek Martian ninja warrior Vatican assassins.
That's true. It doesn't Kevin say that specifically.
Right. Did it say that?
It's not an exception.
Well, the security guard, a female security guard, would not let him back into Staples Center.
Love it.
And here was Charlie's response.
You know what? F*** balls, all right? Common sense and common courtesy to, like, go on in society. That's what I'm trying to impress upon her, you know? That's all. Let a guy back in a door and just walk down. I mean, come on, you know?
Because you can't smoke inside, so...
It ain't about smoking, bro. It's about, like, just... It's about common sense. That's all.
Yeah.
That's what he's always been about. He's trying to impress
society. He's always about common sense. He's always been about reason.
And his thing is manners, too. That's another thing.
While he was screaming at the security guard for doing her job. You know what? Effing blow my balls, all right, you effing a-hole.
Yeah.
First of all, blow my balls isn't even a thing, Charlie. First of all, it's a horrible insult. So you fail on that level as well.
You fail in that doesn't really ever get done.
But the fact that you just came out the door doesn't mean anything about whether you can go back in or not. Don't go out the door.
It means you can't go back in is what it means.
Yes.
And the policy makes a lot of sense because you just can't have everybody doing that and expect the person at the door to be able to keep track of who just left and who's coming back in.
Right. By the way, there's a balcony, Ralph pointed out earlier. You can't...
Huge smoking balcony.
Right. That's the way to go.
Huge.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's on the second level, easy to get to.
But
no
it may
problem.
Have been 20 steps out of his way versus going out the door thinking he could do whatever he was entitled to do.
I love it.
So. And Donald Trump says he's going to sue Miss Pennsylvania. I don't know if you heard about Sheena Mon in Miss Pennsylvania, but she quit the Miss USA pageant.
Did not hear about this.
Yeah, she quit this week because she said, I saw the list of the top five before the show ever started.
What?
You don't know, man.
It was rigged, claims Miss Pennsylvania. I can no longer be affiliated in any way with an organization I consider to be fraudulent, lacking in morals, inconsistent, and in many ways, trashy.
I've made my decision. You're fired.
Well, now Donald Trump's going to sue her. Okay.
I don't blame him, by the way.
Why?
Well, if she says it's rigged, that is...
She's accusing his pageant of being rigged. If it's not, that seems like that would be defamatory.
Yeah.
I'm with you that I don't doubt that it is.
Right.
But if you don't have proof, you can't really...
Miss Universe claims that she quit because she's opposed to the decision to allow transgendered competitors. They're all part of the same company, the Miss USA, Miss Universe competition. And so, it's he said, she said, basically. But Trump said that if she apologizes in a written apology, that he will give her a second chance and withdraw his lawsuit if she admits that her claims are baseless.
Today, I'm very proud of myself.
I love that he goes on to say, plus, look at her. There's no way she's pretty enough to be in the top 10 anyway.
Yeah.
Did he say
he
that?
He did.
Oh, yeah. He totally piles on.
Awesome.
Yeah.
He slammed her.
He's the best. What a douchebag.
And now that Oprah's gone from the TV landscape, what is the biggest syndicated show on television, do you believe?
Biggest syndicated show?
Oprah was for many, many years.
Dr. Phil?
No.
Is it a talk show?
Amongst talk shows, he's tops.
So Dr.
Phil is.
Judge Judy?
Judge Judy. Still number one.
Wow.
8 million viewers a day watch her.
Wow.
And we always are amazed by the amount of money that she makes every year.
Yeah.
She's always making a huge number of cash. It turns out she earns it. 8 million viewers.
I want you to answer my question.
8 million viewers would be enough to put you in the nightly top 10 in
yes.
network primetime shows.
Absolutely.
That's baloney. It doesn't make sense.
Big Bang Theory is second with 7.5 million viewers for each rerun episode. Wheel of Fortune was third. With the talk shows, Dr. Phil is tops.
Not interested, sir.
About 4 million viewers.
Dr. Oz gets 3 million viewers, and Maury Povich is still pulling in almost 3 million viewers. He's third on the list.
Those pregnancy tests are
It is. Wrong. I think that's the one. This really sucks you in. You are not the father.
Although most of the time it is.
You are the father. Again. Today's celebrity birthday, singer Tom Jones, 72 years old today. Actor Liam Neeson turns 60. While we were talking about talk shows, remember Jenny Jones, talk show host Jenny Jones?
Yes, I do.
Sort of, yeah.
She was famous because she did an episode where a guy came out to another guy and admitted that he was in love with him, and the guy went and killed that guy. Oh, that's right. Big, big controversial episode.
And then she had her breast implants explode, remember?
Yeah. She's 66 years old. On camera. It just blew up.
I'm not
Took out four
about
people
that.
In the front row.
I'm not sure that's... happened on TV.
I don't think that's true.
Prince is 54. Gordon Gano of Violent Femmes... Gordon, that's Gordon Lightfoot.
I'm sorry.
Gordon Gano of the Violent Femmes and Wall Street is 49 years old
today. No, that's Gordon Gekko. That's Gordon Gekko.
Greed is good speech. You remember he did that?
That's the Michael Douglas character.
Greed is good like a blister in the sun.
That's too complicated to
Eric Kretz of Stone Temple Pilots is 46 years old. Eric Johnson of The Shins is 36 years old. Dave Navarro's 45. Bear Grylls is 38. Anna Kournikova is 31 years old today. Kathy Griffin being upset because we found her attractive.
Please.
She just thought it was too typical.
But she's hot. Dude. You can't help that she's hot.
Whatever. I'm with Kathy.
Oh, well, we're not supposed to react to hot chicks?
No, it's just so typical.
Just because she's... Wait, she's hot. Why wouldn't we find her attractive, Lisa?
How can we not? It's biology. Common. It's not about
it
us.
Is biology. We're not trying to be uncommon.
We're making a choice.
She's hot.
Well, maybe you should.
That's baloney. It doesn't make sense.
I agree.
And Judge Michael Cera is 24 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right. By tomorrow, we will have found out if his name is Sam Trammell or Sam Trammell.
Yeah, we will.
Okay.
I believe it's Trammell, but I don't
know. I thought it was Trammell.
He plays Sam Merlot on True Blood.
Yes.
Is it Erlit or Orlot?
Merlot.
I think it's Merlot.
Is it Sam or Sam?
I believe it's Sam.
Sam?
We also have Ice-T in studio.
Yeah.
And he's got a
is
new...
Is it Iced or Ice-T?
It's Ice... Tea.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, he's got a new documentary called The Art of Rap, which looks awesome.
Iced tea?
Just
or
ice.
Iced
just
tea.
Ice.
Oh, okay.
Tea. And then we have Harvey Weinstein. Or is it Weinstein?
Weinstein.
I don't know. I'm not positive. And we have Jason Schwartzman.
I know it's Jason Schwartzman.
Okay. Yeah. All on tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean.